All right. Welcome to episode 238 of the Linux Lugcast. We're an open podcast / lug that meets at 9 p.m. Eastern every first and third Friday of the month using Mumble. We encourage anyone listening to join us and participate on the podcast. Check out linuxlugcast.com for the server details. If you have any questions, comments, or topics you'd like us to discuss and are unable to join us live during the show, you can send us an email at feedback@linuxlugcast.com. You can check out our Lemmy page, our Matrix page. We have a YouTube channel and a PeerTube channel. I'm your host for this evening, Honky Magoo. With us tonight is Eric.
Hello.
Fat Boy.
Good evening.
Joe.
Yep, I'm here.
Lovecraft.
Good evening, Arwen.
Minix.
Hello, thanks for joining us.
And he's muted, but Netminer is here.
Heard him earlier.
Yeah, he's here. He's muted. He's doing something else, probably watching YouTube or something.
Yep, I'm here. I've been listening. Just didn't want to get any copyrights strikeable material for Minix or other people.
Happened before. Actually, it happened the last show I posted.
What did we do last time?
We didn't do anything. It was me. I posted, or because Scotty didn't have an avatar or anything.
Yep.
But, and he mentioned he's into anime and stuff. So I used a little clip of Astro Boy. Remember the old black and white cartoon? Sure. And it was like a 20-second repeating clip for his little panel. And it got flagged as being copyrighted material. And but it didn't. They didn't give us a strike for it.
They didn't take it down.
No, they just took. I don't know what they did. They noted it. I got a message saying it's copyrighted material. So that's
what did
all.
I saw you switched it. What did you switch it to? It was another loop of some random videos.
No, it was still that. It was the Astro Boy.
It was still Astro Boy?
Yeah.
I can make it look at it.
There was a part where I think I didn't connect it right or something, and it had a space in between it. But also, we got some. Should we get into the viewer feedback real quick? Since
we had viewer feedback?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Sign in here. And somehow I turned on two-factor authentication on the YouTube account. And I don't know how that happened. I don't remember doing that. And I don't know how to turn it off. So like I have to go to my, every time I log into the YouTube, I have to do something on my phone. I'll have to look in the settings or something.
They might have turned it on for you.
Maybe they did, because I don't remember doing that. Let's see. What? One of the I think it's on both of the same videos. Let's see. Because I did the same thing this time where I kind of split it up into clips.
Yeah, I'm surprised episode 237, the full episode, got 108 views.
Yeah. Damn. You know, I've been kind of pushing it on Lemmy too. So, okay. So now I got to.
Oh, you're right. It still is Astro Boy.
Got to enter in the code.
Yeah. The full version too. Got 108 views. Now, can you check check to see whether somebody watched the full video or just a few seconds of it?
Yeah, it'll show you in the metrics and stuff.
Okay.
Okay. So let me look at the. If I go to channel, show me. Yeah, the full episode got over 100. Oh. Okay. Here it is. They always give you all this stuff that nobody cares about, but they don't show you an easy way to go to your notifications.
Wait a second. The other day it wasn't like this, but the Artifice Girl review got 413 views.
Yeah.
When did that happen? I'm pretty sure, like, the other day I looked at it and it wasn't for that
yeah,
big.
Yeah, it's been gradually climbing up. And I think YouTube.
That got two comments, too.
Yeah, I was going to read those. I messed up for some reason, it's just got that little short clip of what we use for Netminder in there instead of all of us talking. I don't know how that happened. It got cropped to just that, which, and people saw that. Like, one comment says, "What is with the weird, creepy video?" Because it's just showing. Remember, I made that video clip from that Stable Diffusion deal?
Yeah.
And but the other comment, this is on the Artifice Girl review, where we talked about, you know, about people, about using AI to catch child predators and stuff like that. And and this one guy said, "Yes, seriously, I could see this becoming a thing, if not already, sooner or later. What was the Chris Hansen group like? The creep catchers that impersonated teens. They'll master a real child's voice. Somebody will run these AI scripts around. I suppose it's a good thing if it works, but maybe bad if it can't exactly catch them. Or I suppose bait is the word, by all the picky legal requirements needed. Interesting anyway," is this comment. Which is, I don't really know what he's talking means, but those are... And there's some other comments too, I thought, but I can't... There's not a way where I could just go to notifications. But anyway, so people are watching on YouTube, at least, and on PeerTube, too. Let's see. We've got... Let me see how many views we got on PeerTube, which I'm surprised. I think a lot of people on Lemmy watch on PeerTube just because it's... what would you say, kind of more of that kind of crowd that are into open source and stuff like that? And,
probably.
Let's see. What's it called? Bitwarden here. Dead air here.
Huh?
Okay, there we go. All right.
Truncate silence will take care of that.
Yeah. Now I'll save it. So, stuff I posted from the last show, which is weird. The all of the views came from the show before last, 236. So like the main show got 51 views, and some of the clips, like when we were talking about privacy versus convenience, got 34 views, and those are the two biggest ones. But like the last week's show didn't. Only got one view on PeerTube. It's weird. It's very... I think something catches on and people will share it, and that's how it gets viewed, you know? But otherwise, I don't know. But the YouTube, I think the algorithm is starting to push us because we're putting out a lot more videos and clips and stuff, and so we're probably appearing on people's feed, you know, is how that's happening, which is fine. As long as it draws listeners to the show, you know, that's the main deal.
Sure.
Hopefully they'll jump on.
Yeah.
Like Fat Boy did. How'd you hear about us, Fat Boy? You said you've been a long time listener, right?
Yeah, I just subscribed on the. Probably just did a search on the podcast app there, and yeah, just carried on, just listened to them.
Cool. I'm glad. Anyway, that's the feedback I could find. I wish people would email more. I thought about using a Google Voice number where people could call in, but I figure if they don't even email, they're definitely not going to call. So anyway, so I was going to mention about the Atomic Pi. The whole reason that I want it, see, it comes with the camera that plugs into the main board itself. It's for anybody who doesn't know, the Atomic Pi is a single board computer, but it's an x86. I believe it's an Intel Atom chip, but it's quad-core, 64-bit. And from what I understand, they were originally built to go into some kind of robot or something that never actually made it out of production. But they had all these single-board computers still that meant were supposed to go into there. And they got these huge heat sinks on them, which I think was put on there because it was supposed to be in an enclosed space, like the robot housing or something. But so they started selling them like super cheap. I can't remember how much they were, if they even still sell them anymore, like $35 or something like that. But it has an eMMC memory module on it, 2 gigs of RAM, an x86 processor, and Comes with a camera and a high quality camera, and also a really sophisticated audio processing a chip on it too, which you could use. But I've been trying to get this stupid camera to work because I wanted to have another viewer on Jitsi that I could film Buster's litter box, so the people could see the robot litter box. And I cannot get it to work. I've looked everywhere, and I found on GitHub apparently that you can download a patched kernel version of Ubuntu to use with the Atomic Pi. So I tried that, installed that on the Atomic Pi. Still, it doesn't see the camera. There's nothing in dev as far as a video interface. LSUSB doesn't show the camera. There's no way to load a module for it or anything. So I downloaded there's a kernel patch on GitHub that Digital Loggers put out. Digital Loggers is who sold the board too. I actually built the kernel and with the patch and tried that, and still the camera doesn't show up within
I assume it's OS. Not a USB camera?
No, it's a... I'll grab it real quick.
It has its own ribbon connector, so...
Yeah, so I can show it to you guys.
Have you tried LSPCI?
Yes. It doesn't show up.
Are people clamoring for video footage of the robot
cat box?
Yes, they're clamoring to see his cat poop.
Anyway, here's the if you're watching the feed,
holy cow,
see how big that heat sink is?
Yeah,
and it's got a little breakout board too on the bottom here, so that you don't have to wire the power. You can just as a barrel jack for the power. It's got some little LEDs here, and then here's the camera right here, and it's actually a really nice camera if you can kind of see the camera board. Nice optics, but it plugs in right there.
Do you know what the
connection
supported resolution is?
No. All it says probably is webcam. It doesn't say the type of connection, but I can't get it to work. I can't. And they sell the cameras by themselves too. But and then I can't get anybody to respond. I even put a thread on Reddit and on GitHub. Hey, And I haven't heard of anybody getting this camera to work. I've heard of one guy who works for Intel that got it to work with Clear Linux on the Atomic Pi.
Does it connect via the PCB, or how does it hooked up?
Yeah, it is. Okay. If you can see right there, that's the connection right there.
Have you tried it on a different... I would troubleshoot it by trying it on a different board.
But I don't have... It's a custom connection on this board that's made for the camera. It even says camera on the connection.
Wow.
And
what had they been used? Oh, you said like a robot or something.
Okay. Yeah, it was supposed to go into a robot that never actually made it out of production. Gotcha. But it's a really cool board. I mean, this was originally my email server. I had a because it's the breakout board has a what do you call it, USB on it and stuff. And when I was first messing around with getting the email server running, this is what I put it on before I moved it to Proxmox. But it's also got an SD card slot.
Have you tried out like a cheap USB cam?
No, I haven't. I guess I could. I don't have one though. But I do have those Wyze cams.
Goodwill.
And hey, you want to trade a cheap USB cam for that power supply?
Let me see if I have one sitting around. Yeah. I got to find one.
But those Wyze cams, I think they
will it run ADB?
Like with Android? I don't know. I haven't put Android on it. There's an Android image for it.
Well, no. I don't want it run Android. I want it to run ADB and then like run Droid Cam.
Oh. I don't know. I haven't tried that.
Because I can grab a cheap freaking Android phone.
Oh, that's a good idea. Well, you know, I have an Android phone too that I'm not using. That's a good idea, Joe. I didn't even think about that. I could use that as a webcam. But I really wanted to get this working because it just because I thought it was such a cool camera, but I can't.
I'm sorry, that's why I was asking if it would run 80B. If it runs Ubuntu, it should run 80B.
Yeah, okay. Maybe so. Maybe that should be my next step because I was about ready to give up on it on this camera, but I really wanted to get it running. I'm not using it, this board. I'd like to use it. It's, you know, it even has a RTC with the, there's the little battery right there. I mean, it's a cool little board, you know. But anyway, so that's really the only kind of tech related thing I've been messing with lately. Trying to get that to run. I'm about ready to give up on it and just. Maybe I should do that, what Joe said, just get a cheap, I have an old Android phone I could use for the cam. I also have some tiny Orange Pi cameras that goes, my Orange Pi, try that next. Put, what's that distro, the Debian, Armbian? Yeah, I could put Armbian in there and if I get that running. But yeah, I've tried to compile the camera module. I even built the kernel and with the patch and no go. And the only people, a couple of people I've seen that got it to work have only been able to like grab a few frames from it, not even a video stream. So, and Digital Loggers isn't responding to me on GitHub. I think they've just washed their hands of it already. So that's my adventure. What about you guys? Projects like that?
I've been going on the Pi KVM. Have you ever used one of those?
I have not, no.
So I've used Pi KVM before. I had it on a zero, Pi Zero, and that quit working some time ago. So I think it was the board because the Wi-Fi stopped working. So I bought a couple more Pi Zero 2Ws. Set it up, and with the Pi Zero 2W, you could do tail scale on it. It's pretty good. I got a couple of extra of the HDMI modules, and I've got a little 1.5-inch OLED screen, so it'll give you the IP address if you need it. So that's what I'm just building up at the moment. It works pretty good.
Do you guys remember that project that I did where I was trying to use a headset with a Raspberry Pi where it was just piping the USB to my desktop so that I could walk around? No. I did it on this show.
I want to say yes.
Yeah, but yeah, that was basically using the Raspberry Pi Zero as a pass-through. And it worked really well with like the keyboard and mouse. So I could easily like switch between devices that were calling it. Mm-hmm. But there was a little bit too much latency for it to work well with the headset. So
was that Pi KVM too?
It's the same concept, except I was doing it. I wasn't using somebody else's code to do it. I was just setting up that USB pass through. But it's the same idea.
Hmm. And what were you using it for, Fatboy? The Pi KVM?
So I work away quite a lot. So when I'm away, I have one on my server. So I'm going to have a couple now just on a couple of servers, and you can just get terminal access. You can, you know, if your machine's completely balked, you can reboot it, you can get into the BIOS, you can do everything. It's pretty good for remote access. A commercial one will be several hundred dollars for a commercial one. You build one out of, say, a Pi Zero, probably get all together for about $80 all in.
How do you connect?
It's a little different than my idea, yeah.
How do you connect it to your server?
So you can either connect it HDMI. So the HDMI, you connect the HDMI into the dongle, into like an expansion board, which then goes into the camera port of the Pi. So then you've got the video coming through. You go onto a web, it gives you a web page so you see the video feed. And then you can plug the USB. You can connect the USBs up from the Pi into your target machine, and it'll emulate the keyboard and mouse. But it'll also emulate a CD drive as well. So you can upload an ISO, reboot a machine, and start installing from CD in a way. You know, it works pretty good.
I need to get that working because that.
So essentially, you know, it's USB to HDMI. So your server is outputting HDMI to the USB of the Pi, and then the Pi is allowing you to interface with the server, right?
Well, you can get to, there's two types of HDMI. You can either use it with a HDMI dongle on for USB. Right. That's got quite a bit of latency on it, but I've got it as the
camera,
as going straight into the camera port. But then the Pi Zero can do USB on the go, what they call OTG. So that can then emulate via the keyboard and mouse. But it works. It works pretty. It's pretty cool. Pretty good how it works.
And that connects. Okay, so the emulation, the keyboard and mouse emulation comes from via the on the go port, right?
Yeah, that's right. Port. So you've got your micro USB.
Yeah.
So you connect micro USB to the USB A port on your target machine, and it's just a zero, Pi Zero W, you can power it up through that USB port as well.
Nice.
So if your server's not got
HDMI... Hey, Joe, you're loud.
Oh, sorry about that.
Let me if your server's not got HDMI, I've got a VGA to HDMI adapter as well.
Right.
So you can go straight through. But yeah, it fits in a case like a couple of inches, just a bit bigger than the Pi Zero.
Mm-hmm.
And powered from the USB port, and it's doing data through the USB port for the keyboard and mouse. Pretty good, pretty nice little project. It's on GitHub.
Cool. I put a link to that in the show notes, PyKVM. I wonder if there's a similar something for like the other boards, like Orange Pi or Red Shaw or something like that.
They have a Discord channel, so where people, you can do unofficial builds. It's actually built on Arch. So the guy's done it on Arch. And but there are other builds. People have tried it on other machines, but the main one is the Pi. What he aims is ISOs at.
So this, on that Pi KVM page, they are going over over IP.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's over IP, and they're actually even selling their own hardware on Kickstarter, which is kind of cool.
I see that.
And the beauty, if you link it up with Tailscale, you can have the target machine on any network in the world.
Yeah.
You can be anywhere,
That's
right. That would be crazy. Okay.
So let me see. Do they? Okay, United States. They have it at the Pi Shop. If you want to buy a box that's already made, whoa, it's $384.
Yikes.
Yeah, that has a lot of other stuff on it as well. So if you've got an ATX machine, you can tie it into the motherboard, and you can do force reboots and resets and all the other things.
Okay,
nice.
But as I say, if you just build it with a Pi Zero, or you can build it with a Pi 2 and a Pi 3 as well. But then you need a Pico. I think it's a Pico what they use just to emulate the, because that's not got the OTG capabilities. Mm. But the best thing to do it on is either a Pi 4 or a Pi Zero.
Yeah. I do have some Picos, but I don't, like you said, it doesn't have the OTG on it. Maybe I could find this for one of my other small boards, like my other single board computers. I don't have.
You could set most of that up yourself, really. I mean,
really?
As long as you had some way to output the HDMI to either USB or a camera output, some type of video input on your device, then you could do most of it. I mean, there's all the other stuff that already exists to do the HID style device from like a Pi or anything else. So I'm pretty sure that you could do it with the knowledge that you have and probably the hardware that you have on hand.
Hmm. I'll have to look into this weekend. This would be a neat little project.
In the top right corner has a DIY Get Started, and it's
I see that. Yeah.
GitHub, and just talks about what you need. Raspberry Pi 2, 3, 4 or 0, 2W. full HD video using advanced HDMI to CSI bridge or USB dongle, extra low latency video. So looks like you can do most of it. Yeah.
It says 02W, but you said just a regular zero will work, right?
Well, the zero,
it says 02W.
They used to have the zero, but they don't do the architecture for it now. They don't build it for that anymore.
If you're going to do like the zero, the non-W, like, I mean, you're still going to have to connect it to a network somehow to be able to get anything done. Hmm. So, like, this is what I was looking for when I was making all that noise.
Is that HDMI to USB?
Yeah.
Okay.
I have one of those. I'll tell you what I use one of those for. Is, you know, when you've got a Pi and then you need a monitor, I use that as like the camera. So you have a laptop to one side and it's like...
And just turn on VLC or OBS and it counts as a video input. So, yeah. That's exactly what I got this for. I want to be able to do that with my 1GX to one of my large monitors, or I want to be able to this, which is the USB-C to HDMI, and then hook my phone up and then basically use it the way DeX is supposed to work on like Windows and things like that. So
yeah, I used to carry one of those adapters when I was traveling a lot and doing presentations for work and connecting to like projectors, stuff like that. My laptop didn't have a reliable HDMI port, so that was always good to have.
Well, this is kind of the opposite. You mean this.
I had to use USB. No, I had to use USB to HDMI because my laptop
This one is HDMI to USB.
Yeah. You went the other way, Eric.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did.
Interesting.
This one would be USB to HDMI, but it's USB-C to HDMI.
Gotcha. USB-C, all the things.
Yeah, I agree. Except it's still difficult to find motherboards. I haven't looked, you know, like in the last year or so, with USB-C like built in. You still got to get like a PCI Express card or something if you want USB-C.
I think the latest one I got, maybe? I don't know. It's under my desk. I haven't actually looked at the back of it in a while. But yeah, I think maybe this one did come with at least one USB-C on the back, though. To get a case with USB-C.
I mean, if it's like the full bandwidth connection for USB-C, what is it, USB 3.2 or USB 4? I don't even know what it's up to now. But yeah, if it's got that full like 40 or 60 meg speeds, then I can see where that would be extremely useful.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt.
Morton's in that chat.
Yeah, I heard it. I saw the message.
Lugbot.
Yeah, Lugbot just joined. He won't be speaking tonight. I'm doing a complete firmware upgrade on the robotics of his voice.
On the AI.
So that it can be easier to understand.
You're just going to go grab an AI one of these days and replace Lugbot, aren't you?
No, I would never do that to Lugbot. He's still working with...
Hello, humans.
Oh, is that a Morton with the...
Yeah.
...sketchy audio there? Awesome.
Yes.
Where are you reporting from, Morton?
I'm still in Thailand for 2 more weeks.
Oh, so you left Singapore already?
Yes, Singapore was just for a day and a half.
Oh, okay. Quick trip.
Yeah, had to leave the country to reset my visa status.
Oh, okay.
So you can stay, how long can you stay each time you do that?
30 days.
Oh, okay.
I got one extension of 30 days on my visa. And they only do one extension.
Oh, I see.
So it used to be a 90-day visa. You didn't have to do anything for America, Canada, Europe. And then the year I came, they switched it from 90 days to 45. So I had to get an extension that year. And then they changed it this time around to 30 days instead of 45. And you could only do one extension. So you have to leave the country.
But only for a short time.
Oh, a full 24 hours.
Oh, okay.
One other thing I wanted to mention that I got working was the Joplin web interface.
Cool.
I wanted to ask you about that because I use Joplin. I know Eric uses Joplin. Mm-hmm. I think that would be interesting to have set up.
Yeah.
This easier. Isn't just the plugin. This is not no, this the extension.
The web server. Joplin. Okay. Yeah. So you can access it from a browser. And it's still, you know, it's the same sync. Wherever you're syncing Joplin, it syncs to the same source. So I got it working for about 24 hours. And then I have no idea what happened. But, you know, I was running it through Nginx Proxy Manager to give me SSL. And for some reason, it just dropped out to where I can no longer access it securely, you know, like it said this page is insecure and Firefox wouldn't even let me go to the it worked awesome for the first 24 hours it was up. I don't know what happened. I think it was a cert issue or something happened with my proxy, but while it was working, I can give you a little quick review. You can do pretty much everything within the web browser that you can do within the app. And I had it connected to my Nextcloud server, which is where I sync Joplin. And it had no issue connecting to Nextcloud. And you can create notebooks. You can browse your other notebooks. You can edit notes. You can create new notes. The interface is pretty 90s. Like, it's... I'll put a link to it in the show notes so you can see.
Is it Joplin View Web?
Yes.
Okay, because I was going to say Joplin Web says it's discontinued.
Called Joplin View Web, and it actually works pretty good. I think it said it lists some things that it can't do, but I forgot what those were. If you go to,
is it just me or Mendix, is your audio chop?
Is it bad? Am I cutting
it? No, it sounds fine to me.
No, it sounds fine to me too.
But it could be everybody more than, or I'm sorry, not minor, just because he was the only one talking.
So I put a link in the show notes. So if you go to that GitHub link, you'll see kind of what it looks like. And you can see it's kind of the old school original web interfaces for applications like this. And I wish there was a dark mode. There's not. It's always blinding white whenever you're using it. It has an admin interface as well as a user interface. So on the admin interface is where you can make any kind of like system-wide changes and where you set up passwords and stuff like that. And it does nesting. Let's see what it doesn't do. It does. Okay, sort notebooks or notes, so no sorting. And you can't move a note or a notebook from one notebook to another. So those are the two limitations.
So it's really just a viewer.
Yeah,
simple web viewer / editor for Joplin. So you can do notes, but you can't like. Okay, yeah. So they're probably just built in.
Can't sort them, so
yeah they probably just built in that level and just haven't, well, maybe they will keep going depending on interest, but they're probably just positioning it then as like a quick, like how to take a note or make a change to a note, but it's not really a replacement.
Yeah. And it does all the markdown and stuff. It's got its own code editor. And gotcha. if you look through the, you know, it's all tabbed and stuff, and you know, you can do either to-do lists or regular notes, and you can use you know, if you want to do markdown by hand, you can, or you can use the editor to do like highlighted and bold text and stuff like that. And so it works really well. And once I figure out, see, the thing is, I have it running in a Linux container. That's also running, I forgot what, but it's running something else. I think there's some kind of networking issue. between the two Docker images. It's maybe trying to use the same Docker network within the LXC, and it's having problems. It's using the same container as CRXNG too, the search engine. So I really need to make its own container, which is the correct way to do it anyway.
Does it look like, and it's a Docker image, obviously, but so do you have to co-locate the encrypted notes files, or does it go out and get them the same way the client does?
Yeah, the same way the client does. So it has if you look at the screenshot, it's got a synchronization,
and you can set
how often you want it to sync, or you can manually trigger a sync too and stuff. And it says it supported targets are Nextcloud, Joplin Server, WebDAV, and S3. So all those. Joe, are you talking? We don't hear anything.
Don't encourage him.
As long as it works with Nextcloud, we're good.
Yeah. That's how I have it set up, working with Nextcloud. But for people that don't know, Joplin is a really handy note-taking application that's made for mobile. But with this Joplin View Web, I guess it's called, you can also access your Joplin notes within the browser. And it works really well once I get it figured out how to do it again. It's totally an Nginx issue. It has nothing to do with the application itself, because I can access it locally through my LAN and it's fine. But for some reason, passing through Nginx, it's getting some signals crossed. So what I'll probably do is just create its own LXC just for Joplin View Web and set it up again. But I recommend it. Like I said, the interface is not the most modern. It doesn't look as pretty as the mobile app, but it gets the job done. It does what it needs to do.
Now, would you prefer to use it? So I guess I'm trying to think of a situation where I wouldn't have access to either my computer and the client or my phone and the Android client.
I use it at work. Computers
borrowing someone's computer.
Yeah. So yeah, they have
tablet.
An official Joplin client, desktop client that's really nice too. But
do they have portable version? I guess that would be stupid.
I don't know.
Yeah, that would be not good. I mean, you only need one instance of this set up somewhere.
But if you just want to access it through the browser like I do at work, then this works really well. I recommend it. So that's my Joplin experience.
It's nice to see this level of participation in the Jitsi.
Yeah, got everybody on here. If you're listening to the podcast, you should join us because we have a lot of fun on here. And you can join the Jitsi and you don't even have to turn on your camera. Netminer does that and you can see all of our beautiful faces.
Lovecraft does that
and we welcome you to be on here. If you're horribly disfigured and you can't view cameras for fear of breaking them, that's fine. You can turn it off.
It doesn't stop me, and it doesn't stop Danny.
Yeah, it doesn't stop me. I have to replace my webcam every time we do a show. But we want you to come on here. That's the whole purpose of this thing. Listener participation. We had Scotty on the last couple of shows. That was great.
9 p.m. Eastern, every first and third Friday of the month.
Mm-hmm. Which UTC is 5?
I think, I don't recall.
Well, I was hoping that Scotty was going to be back on again because I wanted to see how his printer was working, if he was able to connect it to both of the VLANs.
Mm-hmm.
2 a.m. UTC. I was way off.
He did at least one HPR episode.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh, so yeah, does anybody know the status of HPR? Speaking of HPR,
they're still it around. Seems like they need shows.
But did they make a decision on what they want to do?
No.
They want people to make shows. That's what they want.
Right.
But I know they were asking people if they should even continue.
because there were no shows.
Right.
Yes.
They weren't able to put out daily.
I mean, the frequency has been every day, which is, I know what. Yeah, right, which I know, which is what they want. And then, yeah, they've had some people. I'm not a long-time listener, so I don't know how many people are just continuing what they do. But there have been some fun ones. What's in my bag? I thought that was just a random funny thing. Yeah, Scotty did one on, I think, privacy.
Yeah, he's a big privacy guy.
Yeah, yeah. So I think he was talking about privacy, and it's tough to tell who's who because you have to kind of can you see just by going in? Yeah, because it doesn't say who it is. It just says I like this one, Cyberpunk 2077. I love the story based games and experiences, and it goes through the description. But it doesn't actually say who it is, so you have to like play the intro. And then you'll find out. So I wish they would do a better job in their descriptions. Just a suggestion. I mean, I think it makes it easier. That's
still up to the people that are, you know, making them.
Well, yeah, but I mean, they do a canned intro every time. The person, the lady that reads the
Some
intro. Everyone I've listened to has that, like, stock.
Yeah, text-to-speech. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So just the fact that, I mean, I would just say, all I'm saying is that not having it in the description makes it difficult for me to even look and see which one Scotty did. I'd have to listen to every one of them, at least the first 30 seconds.
Yeah, that way it is. But if you go to hackerpublicradio.org, the website itself, it shows who it is. But you're right. When you go to like a podcatcher, it just gives a description of the it doesn't tell you who did it in the description. So, you know.
Gotcha. Okay. I wasn't aware of that. I don't really go to the website very often.
Yeah.
Radio.org.
Well,
anyway, it was good to see that there has been at least some response. It may not be like overwhelming, but it seems like some people have stepped up. And
I need to make a show eventually.
I don't understand why this should be part of the description for the RSS feed.
Yeah.
Hosted by Daniel Pearson on blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Okay. Maybe they think people will go to the website instead of.
Maybe they're hoping at the pushing more of the content versus the contributor.
Yeah, I've actually thought I've been trying to think of some ideas. I mean, I know that you could technically make them about just about anything, but I don't know. I'm kind of like someone did an origin story, you know, how they started in with Linux, and
those are always good ones.
Yeah,
the very basic ones are usually the how you got into Linux or how you got into podcasting, and then the like you said the what's in my bag. What's in my bag is usually like a very basic one because a lot of times when if people who are in the technical field they have their you know their bag their backpack their suit their computer bag or whatever and it's all got usually all sorts of goodies in there. And that those are the, they like to share that all those goodies that they like to bring from job to job. So those are kind of cool too. There's even some of them where they like to just talk about experiences, something that they you know work wise or whatever that they had happen. You know that you can stuff that you can share with that's like work wise. Sometimes those very basic ones, like how you first got into computers or Linux or, you know, podcasting or any of that, those are usually pretty good.
So the one from February 8th was from Swift110, who I've known for years from a different stream. He's a pretty cool guy. And I know he's new at this, so that's good. At least, you know, it seems like some people have stepped up. So I think them announcing and requesting people make content seems to have helped. Change your passwords once in a while. I thought that one was good. Delta Ray. I liked his delivery. He had a really weird clip on his microphone, but his voice is good. Yeah, it's been an interesting mix of stuff.
And it's an interesting mix of you know, the people that do it, you know, they're all well-meaning and they're all good to listen to and they're all smart guys, but it's a little hit or miss on the audio quality. I mean, there have been some that I've listened to on there where, like, the wind is blowing so bad I can barely hear the person. But, you know, I don't have any complaints. It's still, you know, they're putting stuff out for free, and I get to pick and choose the topics that I listen to. So
I think it's fun to have that kind of variety where, like, I have probably 30 podcasts that I follow on any regular basis, and I just get bored with them sometimes. And I find myself like with a whole list full of ones that I'm just like, I don't want to listen to that. I don't listen to that. So HPR is neat because you just don't know what's going to be in there. So,
yeah, you sometimes get people driving home, don't you? And they'll record themselves on the drive home. Some of the good ones that I've heard of the guys doing that, it's pretty good.
Yeah,
stream of consciousness.
It's one of like the few podcasts that I don't have set to automatically download because I'm going to pick and choose the ones that I get and listen to.
Right. Gotcha. I'm saying.
I hadn't realized that they did the community review or the news, HPR news. I thought that was kind of neat, actually.
Yep.
Well, since we were talking about projects, I did put in the show notes the new travel router that I purchased, because I think my old one is dead. I gotta dig into it, but I needed something out here in my garage to, one, extend my Wi-Fi from inside.
What'd you end up getting? Oh, you put it in the show notes.
I did. I got the GL iNet. Let me see. GL iNet. GL SFT 1200. It's actually,
I've had like three of those.
Really good.
Yeah, I don't think I had the 12. The 1200 is probably newer.
There are newer ones than this one. This one was $40, which is
That thing's cute.
More than I usually choose to spend on a travel router. I think the last one was 15. Mm-hmm. But it died hard. Like, it shut down my switch out here, and I was trying to, you know, analyze what had gone wrong with my switch and why none of my internet was working in my garage. And then I disconnected that to check the cable, and suddenly everything was working again. So
you said it was the SFT 1200.
Yeah.
Neat. I like the other ones.
Yeah, and so this has two like gigabit LAN ports and a gigabit WAN port and USB, and it will do it's got a switch on the side and a button that you can program what they do. I think the button is power, but the switch, you can program what it does. So you can have it either have OpenVPN on or off, or your WireGuard on or off. You can go in there and just programmatically make it do whatever. And it does have the WireGuard built in and OpenVPN built in as either a server or a client. So you can set it all up before you leave the house so that whatever network you hook up to, it's going to ring back to your home and everything is encrypted back to the house. So, and the speeds have been great. It's got 2.4 gigahertz and 5 gigahertz, which is a big upgrade over my previous one.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what made you pick this particular one? Did you hear about it?
The price to performance. No, yeah. I was just going through and, you know, reading reviews and seeing the capabilities and looking at the prices, and this one kind of fit the bill for the size. It does use USB-C, and it eats a bit more power than my old one, but I was willing to make that trade. I just didn't want anything that, you know, was a barrel jack with, you know, its own proprietary 12-volt whatever power input. So I can hook this up to anything if I need to.
Runs on OpenWRT 18.
Correct. That was that was one of my sticking points. I needed something that ran OpenWRT out of the box.
Oh, it does. I didn't notice that.
Yeah.
Very nice. So it's not some proprietary Chinese firmware.
Yeah, and right now I just have it set up as an access point, so I have the DHCP table turned off. It is literally just piping the internet through it. And it does have its own, you know, SSID, so it does not match the one inside, so that I can connect to it separately, and it's just for out here in the garage.
That's cool. It has WireGuard built in. I had to stop using OpenVPN because on my router, because Fedora no longer supports 128-bit encryption.
Mm.
So my router only has 128-bit encryption with its OpenVPN server. And so
I thought you could force it to do the heavier encryption by changing out the key.
No, I don't think so. Not on my router, anyway.
The TP-Link. You know how when you go in and you set up the client.ovpn, and it has the key there, and the one that the router generates is like 128, but if you generate the key somewhere else, then it'll do 256?
So if you generate the key and then import it into the OpenVPN server on the router?
I think that's how it works. It's been a long time since I've had to do it. I've been using the same client.ovpn for a really long time now. So I just, if I remember right, that's what I ended up having to do. But like I said, it's been so long and my memory isn't what it used to be. It's working now. So... But I think that's what I had to do in the end, but I don't remember exactly.
Interesting. Because I looked for any kind of option or anything. I couldn't find it. And I went to the TP-Link forums and they said, we only support 128, but they didn't say anything about doing that trick that you mentioned. Well, it doesn't matter now. I'm using WireGuard, but
yeah, the WireGuard works great. I have WireGuard set up on my Pi Zero that also runs my Pi Hole, and that works really well. So
I'm really hungry, so I'm gonna do this food review real quick. This is I'm showing it on the screen. Joe says they suck, but
they're gonna be high quality. Don't worry, I'm wrong. They'll be extra tasty.
It's some protein tortilla chips that I was gonna try. Quest tortilla style protein chips, loaded taco flavor, 19 grams of protein. So I'm going to have one real quick, just to, you can hear me opening the bag.
How many calories?
Let's see, 140 per bag.
Actually, the macro split on that is really good. I mean,
it's really total good. Fat, 5 grams, cholesterol, 5 grams, sodium, 290 milligrams.
Well, just the 140 calories to 19 grams of protein, that's actually really good. That's better than most protein bars.
Of carbohydrates, and it's got a... It says it's actually whey protein or milk-derived protein. So, anyway, I'm going to try one right now.
Cardboard covered in powder.
It's not terrible.
I wouldn't call that arousing.
It's not
that wasn't good either.
Hang on, let me try one more. Let's see.
It didn't make me gag.
Actually... It's not bad.
Let me ask you a question. Is it worth the 3x price that you paid for it over a regular bag of chips?
I would say it's like 6x the price. Say if you can get these bags for like 75 cents or so. Maybe a dollar, I guess. No, it's not worth that. But
well, I've been eating those.
Yeah, smoky bacon.
That sounds smoky bacon.
That actually sounds... Probably tastes good, but does it have 19 grams of protein, fat boy?
Oh, it's got like 1 gram of protein.
Bulky bacon, it's suitable for vegetarians.
Oh,
there you go.
This is not vegan or vegetarian since it uses milk products, but
right.
I'll have to say it's not as bad as Joe made it out to be.
It still could be considered vegetarian, just not vegan.
Okay. Right.
No meat. Yeah. I would recommend these. If you're looking for a high-protein tortilla chip.
I always am.
Loaded taco flavor. I haven't tried any of the other flavors, but I give this a thumbs up for what it is. If this was just a regular chip, it would get a big thumbs down.
Really?
Yeah. But for a protein chip, which I've never eaten before, 19 grams of protein, thumbs up. So there's my
because review. I lowered his expectations, he gave it a thumbs up.
He did. He said I would be eating cardboard, and it's not cardboard. It actually has a nice crunch, and I think it's so seasoned that covers up what may be a cardboard flavor if it wasn't. Like, what is it, the low-carb tortillas? I cannot eat those.
I do, all the time. Oh, every day.
It's like eating every a paper day. Plate. They're awful.
You got to change your company. You got to try different ones and find the one that works for you.
Mission is the last one I tried.
Try La Banderita.
La Banderita. Okay, I'll try those. But anyway, these for what they are, they get a thumbs up. So that's my review. Not two thumbs up, but one thumbs up.
I'm pretty sure I'd rather have Fat Boys chips. Smoky bacon.
Oh, I've also reformatted my computer twice in the last week.
Yeah,
but I told you guys a little bit about that.
I saw you mentioned that on Matrix. Why don't you tell us why you had to do this?
I started having like graphical glitches, really bad, and which wouldn't have caused me to like reformat. But then all of a sudden, I had like really horrible screen resolution on both of my screens, and no matter what I did, the exact same image was going to both of them. And I tried replacing cables, I tried unloading the graphics modules, loading new ones, I tried upgrading to Mint 21.3 or whatever the new one is, but nothing worked. So then I thought it might be a hardware issue. Either the power supply wasn't providing enough power to the graphics card, or the graphics card had crapped. So I loaded up a live ISO. I am going to be talking about this again tomorrow. Or not tomorrow, but Sunday. And the live ISO, it all worked fine. So I reformatted. And then the part of the backup process, or the restore process, kind of bricked everything again. My own mistake. If you want to hear about it, listen to the Mintcast. But
were you using TimeShift?
No, Mint has a backup and recovery tool other than TimeShift. All it really does is, you can use it to back up all your files and your like config files if you set it up that way. But it'll also just record every application that you have installed, and then it will try to reinstall them. It doesn't do things that like aren't in the repos, but anything that is in the regular repos, it will reinstall for you. And then by restoring your files, you can restore all your config files and be running the way that you were before. I'm not sure how TimeShift works, but I know it's also installed in Linux Mint, but it's not what I used.
So you said you had to do this twice. What was the second reason you did it?
Like I said, the restore process, like I had restored everything, and then I had also copied my FS tab back. But when I copied my FS tab back, I did it the incorrect way and overwrote the old one, which made a change that basically made it so that it wouldn't boot. I was able to get to a command line. I was able to restore the other FS tab. And even then, for some reason, it still wouldn't boot. So, or at least not to Cinnamon. It would just boot to command line. So it was, I was still early on in the process. So I just, you know, did it all again and built everything from scratch.
Now how's it running?
It's running good. No graphical issues whatsoever. I mean, before I was having this problem where like Chrome would suddenly just go nuts and I'd see my desktop background in the image, and then I'd have to scroll or something to get it all to recomposite and show back up, and now I don't have those problems.
So did you end up putting a real distro on there, or did you put Mint on there?
Yeah, I did put a real distro on there. It's called Linux Mint. Yeah.
So no. Okay.
Yeah. And it sucks because, you know, once again, my audio bookshelf, all the matching is undone. Mm.
No way to save it. Is it like
there
a database
is,
or a flat
there
file?
Is. I would have to dig into it more.
It's a database,
see,
I think.
The configuration database that has all that information isn't stored in my slash home, which is what I backed up. It's like stored under lib. So because weird. I didn't take a backup of lib, I don't have it.
Seems like a poor design choice.
If you really, I think it's under lib. I'd have to double check. But if you really want to get on to the developer's Discord page and, you know, tell him how he's screwing up, go right ahead.
No, just it's strange to house. It's strange to house user files.
I think that's where it is. I would have to look again. It does seem odd now that I'm thinking about it, but I know that's where some of the config was. So I don't have everything to be able to restore it.
By the way, I have no problem telling developers they're doing things wrong. That was my job for 5 years.
Oh, it's my job too, but this guy's providing it for free, and I'm not going to chew him out. I'm just going to say thank you very kindly for making this work.
Eric will tell him, won't you?
It's the guys that are getting paid that are doing it wrong that I yell at.
Like, man, this guy, I know, he had to format his hard drive, he backed up home, and then like all of it wasn't there. Like, what's the deal, man?
So yeah, well, technically this would be the third time that...
Three!
Well,
now I'm living.
You remember me talking about it last time.
And you still installed Mint? What is wrong with you?
Yeah. But this would be the first time I reinstalled Audio Bookshelf and wasn't able to get any of the matches back.
I actually spent some time on Lemmy this week.
You did?
I did.
You would do some exploring. Some
good stuff on there. Yeah, some good stuff on there.
Let me see.
I up arrowed some things. Didn't actually comment, but
all the stuff that Danny didn't put on there.
We have. I'll give us our community update for our Lemmy server. We have how many users? 130 subscribers. Nice.
You had just broken 100. What, two shows ago, maybe?
Something like that.
Or no, I broke the 100, right? Wasn't it?
Oh, like that's 99? Right. You did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Another 30?
Mm-hmm.
I'd be happy with that.
There's a lot of stuff that happened with Mozilla lately. I don't know if that's worth getting into.
I actually am hoping that the new CEO actually like focuses more on the browser and less on this, like on these products. I know they have to earn money. I'm not, you know, but I think they can do it better by getting grants from companies. You know, if GNOME got $1 million from somewhere in the EU and someone else related got like 300,000, something like that, you got to figure somebody out there has money for the only alternative browser, you know?
Well, they got to do something because, like we mentioned, their share of the like browser space?
6% or something.
I think it was like 2.2%.
I'm thinking of Linux. Linux is desktop. Linux is like 6%, I think.
So
yeah, yeah, but they're saying that it's sliding back down, and that the whole reason that it had gone up was the Steam Deck. So the
new CEO, Laura Chambers, is the new CEO. So Mitchell Baker, she was making $7 million a year, but for running Firefox into the ground. That's interesting.
And probably had a lovely golden parachute on the way out.
No, I'm good, mm-hmm. Thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah, says, I mean, I would have done it for much less. I would have run Firefox into the ground for
3.5.
Yeah, easily. You know.
Yeah. Well, let's hope something changes. The last news update I gave about Mozilla said they laid off 60 people recently, and they want to build AI into Firefox. So they're already starting on a bad foot, I would say.
Why? What the? What?
Because AI is the new buzzword.
Yes.
Yeah.
Everybody, AI this, AI that.
I've actually found an integration that I like. Amazon is now using an AI system to scan the feedback, the reviews and comments, and pull out keywords, both positive and negative, which is pretty cool. And then if you click on one of them, you can actually see relevant comments.
Yeah, I didn't know that that was AI. I did notice that, and that is extremely helpful. But yeah, I did not know that that was from AI.
I didn't either. When you click on one of the terms, it'll actually take you And it says this was compiled by using AI technology. And it's actually really helpful because a lot of times I'll search for certain words and you know, you can find comments based on that, but to have the keywords that bubble up like that, especially something that's got like a battery and it'll have like, you know, red battery, and you click on it and it's like, you know, all the people are like having problems with the battery or something. So it's actually pretty smart use of that kind of technology. And it's probably one of the first ones that has been genuinely useful for me personally.
So it says they laid off 60 jobs, which is 5% of their workforce. So that means they had 1,200 people working for Mozilla. That's way more than I thought. No, they were that big. Yeah, what are they doing?
Yeah.
Oh, here's some of what they were doing. Some of their products. They just released Mozilla Monitor, a new paid service where you can see if... Well, they've had Mozilla Monitor for a while, but now they have a paid service.
Pro.
Yeah, pro service that's, I think, $9 a month or something.
$14.
Oh, is it really?
It's expensive. Yeah.
So the original Mozilla Monitor, which still exists, it just tells you if any of your info was involved in a data breach. Now, what the paid version says, they can scrub your data from data brokers.
They can request.
Yeah. How do they do that? They just write a letter?
You can request. You can go. There are literally hundreds of data brokers. Not all of them are as important as others, but you can go to the site and request, search for your data, put in a request for some. I don't think it's wide open that you can obviously just search for data, or it shows you redacted. You know, when you search, it'll show you kind of like the redacted version of data they have on you. And then I think it's like law that they have to allow you to request to take your data down, because it's technically your data.
That was part of what was that thing that happened in the EU? Yeah. What was that called?
I don't know.
That's why you have to accept cookies on every single website now.
So the yearly price is what I was thinking about. It comes out to $9 a month.
Oh, $9. Okay.
But the monthly, you're right, is $14 a month.
So what I've heard, though, is basically that as an intermediary or a proxy, that they can request that the data be removed. But I don't know that the companies have to honor that. That's the criticism I've heard so far.
That was my whole hang up about it. What's going to make these people actually take your data down? I mean, what incentive do they have to do that just because you asked them to?
Well, that was part of that law. Now I'm going to have to look it up.
It says they search across 190 data broker sites that sell people's private information. If we find your data on any of these sites, we initiate the request for removal. Data removal can take anywhere from a day to a month. So that's available for the Plus users.
So PC World has an article from 2 days ago called "Data Brokers Have Your Personal Info. Here's How to Wipe It Clean," with a subheading of "Removing Yourself from These Databases is an Aggravating Version of Whack-A-Mole." More tools and services have cropped up to help you combat this Hydra-like problem, whether you're making the opt-out request yourself or outsourcing that work. I think maybe it's like a do not call list kind of thing.
GDPR.
Morency posted it. GDPR.
Yeah.
General Data Protection Regulation.
Yeah.
So yeah, I did look at this Mozilla Monitor, and I thought, oh, $8.99? That's not bad. And then I realized that's only if you pay for a year, and that's the monthly price for a year subscription. I thought it was $8.99 a year, and I was like, oh, sign me up. I'll try it. Try it out. See how... But no, it's $14 a month. $8.99 a month if you sign up for a year, which comes up to $107.88 before tax. So they can keep my data. But anyway.
And this isn't a unique product either. McAfee Plus Premium has a similar service. There are probably dozens of different companies.
Yeah, somebody on Lemmy mentioned a service they use, and they said it was pretty good, but I forgot what it was called. So Mozilla Monitor, as far as the products that Mozilla, they recently got rid of Mozilla Hub, which I don't know what that was, but that was one of their recent announcements along with the layoffs. Let's see.
Apparently the issue is that they have to keep going back and re-requesting with the same. Unfortunately, this lack of privacy online is mostly a problem in the United States, which lacks data regulation like in Europe. But that could eventually change going forward. Starting in 2026, California residents can make a single opt-out request that will apply to all data brokers, thanks to a law called the Delete Act. While this won't affect the rest of the nation, other state legislatures could pick up the banner. So, okay, there is no law, I guess. And it sounds like even if you request it, that they can re-add you at some point after a certain amount of time or something. So why even take it down in the first place? That doesn't make any sense.
Mozilla VPN, you guys remember that?
Yep.
What were you saying? I know people that actually use it.
Mozilla Hubs is, it says, Mozilla Hubs is the go-to virtual platform for educators, teams, and organizations. And it's got these pictures of this weird virtual area. I guess it's supposed to be used for teaching and stuff. I don't understand who would use this and why. Or it seems very, if most of your job is just to create a freaking useful web browser, this doesn't seem like anything that would be in that spectrum of things.
Yeah, I never understood what it was. I think I glanced cursorily, is that a word? At what it does, but I didn't really get the gist of it. But it's for education mainly, you said?
Yeah. I mean, if you look at the, here, I'll drop a link real quick.
Pocket, they bought Pocket, remember that?
It's like, they bought Pocket. Newsreader.
Yeah. I use Wallabag, but same thing.
Yeah.
Firefox Relay for making burner email accounts. Oh, they mentioned Firefox Focus. Isn't that what you use, Fatboy?
That's the...
On the phone. Firefox Focus is pretty good on the phone.
Yeah. Firefox Send, an encrypted file transfer service. Do you remember this? A VR-focused Firefox reality browser?
No.
I don't remember that at all.
Well, I mean, it's something that's VR-focused, so...
It said Rust. The programming language was spun out of Mozilla in 2020. I didn't know that.
Really?
Yeah, so I know about the Rust Foundation, but I didn't know that Mozilla started it. So they've had lots of projects.
For the last month or so, I've actually been using Firefox as my main browser and coming off Chrome. Few teething issues, but it's not been too bad.
Mm-hmm. It said currently... Firefox is the only browser that can't trace its lineage back to Apple and WebKit as far as active browsers.
Yep. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. Which is good.
It's wonderful, and that's the thing that kind of kills me, is that they had, what, like 60% at one point? 55-60%? Mm-hmm. And at the time, obviously, it was the best browser that wasn't like Internet Explorer. Or Safari, if you even ever used Safari, and they won by merit alone. I used Firefox because it was just such a better experience than anything else that was available. And that, so it wasn't advertising. It wasn't, market control. Privileged position on my systems where they could reach out to me. Like, I kind of heard about it grassroots and like just sort of found it. I mean, obviously I was an IT professional, so that was a different level of computer usage, but like it won because it was just better. And I think that's what they should shoot for, is to just make it such a better experience for people that once they try it, if you can get them to try it, then they just, you know, there's no roadblocks. Unfortunately, there's a lot of development companies that are just developers that ignore Firefox or even are outwardly hostile to it. One of my medical portal systems that I have to use for my doctor just literally says, this is an unsupported browser, a banner that comes up whenever I go to log in. I can still get in. It'll let me log in. But both times, like when I first get to the login screen, this is an unsupported browser. And then after I've logged in, it says it again. I'm like, fuck you. I'm using this browser. But it's just shitty because like normal people who might be using Firefox will get to something like that and be like, well, you know, should I actually be using this browser? And I know they do it because they just don't want to do the testing, you know, which isn't hard because Firefox tends to follow standards better than Chrome does. Chrome likes to break them whenever that's convenient for them. It's frustrating.
Big worrying point to me is brought up in this article too, is that 80% of Firefox's or Mozilla's funding comes from Google by having their search within the Firefox browser. And
that's leadership.
I think that's unhealthy.
That's a leadership issue. I think there are probably enough companies or consortiums or, you know, grants. There's got to be enough money in the world to fund this alternate, the only viable alternative to a complete single market dominance by a major corporation. That is a frightening thing to have that much of a monoculture, you know?
Their current products, they list the ones we already went over, but also a Sea Monkey, Thunderbird. Yep, mm-hmm. Thunderbird. Firefox components or Gecko, Neko, Rhino, Servo. Oh, here's something interesting. Here's the graveyard of Firefox, kind of like the Google graveyard. Banzai, a web-based interface. Camino, do you remember that? That was a browser for Mac OS.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do. I actually used Mac whenever that was a thing.
Yeah, I remember Camino as well. Let's see, Firefox OS. How about that? You guys remember that?
Yeah, it's mobile.
Yep.
Yeah, for smartphones and tablets. I forgot all about that.
It was evidently popular in third world countries for a very, very short amount of time. But
was it? The Firefox OS?
It was meant for the Firefox lower phones. End phones.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Firefox phones.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They had another browser for handhelds called Minimo, which I don't remember that. But that was for it says handheld devices, not necessarily mobile devices. And then Sunbird, I don't know if you guys remember that. That was their calendar application.
Yeah, I used it.
But I think Thunderbird just integrated that within itself. So
Firefox Send is listed on mine. I'm looking at Wikipedia abandoned.
Yeah. It is. And I think I tried Firefox Send when it came out. I had completely forgot about it, but
it was okay. It was a little slow for big files, so yeah. I think that there are better alternatives for that. Again, I think these are interesting sort of experiments with web technologies, but they just look like a big list of distractions. Like, who is still using Sea Monkey?
Yeah.
Like, why bother? Like, if you have any development effort going into that, like, why?
What do you think is their best way to make money without depending on Google?
Ask for it. They're going to have to find another Google that isn't Google, because that's like taking, you know, it is literally the enemy. and the enemy is placating them. And I think by giving them just enough money to function, but
in order to prevent themselves from being a full-on true monopoly, they are funding their competition.
Yeah. Right.
Now I thought if they could invent a search, like, have you ever heard of Kagi search? It's a paid search engine, but it's so good that lots of people use it because they said it's just that good and it's ad free and stuff. And I think it's $5 a month, starts at $5 a month, but it's supposed to be an excellent search engine, and now it's profitable. If they could get into a product like that that actually ties into the browser instead of saying we're going to build AI into Firefox now, maybe that could get people to pay for it. I don't know.
So they give you 100 searches for, this is Kagi, 100 right. free searches to get started, and then $5 a month for 300 searches per month. That's $10 like a month. Yeah, I know. So I'd have to do the $10 unlimited. And then they have a $25
for advanced features.
It says all in professional plus access to our most advanced features. Doesn't say what those are, but
it better be good for $25 a month.
It's AI.
If there is a search company that is profitable being a paid search option, mm-hmm. I think that's a great thing, because I think it's probably for people who are just so sick of, you know,
data harvesting and being advertised to, and all, you know, because you go to Google now and like half the links on the first page are all advertisement, you know, they're all sponsored links and stuff, kind of like what Amazon is doing.
Well, Joe, and you said the AI, so the $10 plan gives you unlimited access to Fast GPT and Universal Summarizer, which must be their AI stuff.
Hmm.
So, I mean, honestly, what you save 10% if you do an annual plan.
So let's just go away from Mozilla as a whole. What would Firefox have to do to become a much better browser for more people to accept it?
I think it would have to be faster and use less memory in general, because I do have probably 50 tabs open between different container groups. But it uses, even for people that are using just maybe 10 tabs, like it uses a lot of memory. And so I've found that when I have it open, first of all, it takes a long time to restore everything, so it's a little slow compared to other implementations of the Chrome, you know, Chrome browser. So I think just overall, in general, having it be lighter weight, you know, feel faster would be great, and whatever sort of engine improvements would need to be made to have that happen. Memory usage, I think, would be... you know, good. I like this that, you know, they have the Firefox, I'm sorry, Facebook container built in. I think that's a really smart thing.
I never started using this until you brought it up, Eric, was the containerized tabs, like personal and work and stuff like that.
Yep.
That's awesome, because I have several email accounts with that, you know, that I host on my own server. But yeah, each email account could be in its own tab, so I'm not logging in and out.
Yep.
Joe brought this up not too long ago, that Firefox will get a real test whenever Google starts its, what is it called, Joe, with Chrome, that it's going to make it a lot easier or a lot harder to install ad blockers and stuff like that.
Yeah, that they're putting in that thing where they're only allowed to have like 100 add-ons per extension or something like that, which is going to kind of brick uBlock Origin.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's the whole point, is to brick uBlock Origin. So
yeah,
or I think any type
it's trying for years to do that. Yeah,
I think we will at least get some users to move to Firefox when that happens. I don't know how many.
I think I honestly feel like privacy has become more upfront in people's minds. I think that even like non-technical people maybe have enough people that they know, or they've seen enough things where, in that idea that
people,
if you're not,
have been yelling at them long enough saying this is important, that they're actually figuring out that this is important.
Well, the mantra of there is no such thing as free, and if it's free, you are the product, you know, those types of little sound bites, I think, are starting to stick. more and more in people's minds, where it's like, well, why do I get this for free? And what, you know, yes, it's giving me some value and it's useful, but like, what do they get out of it? And especially in the era of, I think that VC funding is going to be a little more difficult to come by. And this idea of being a startup where you just kind of start and literally piss away, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars while you're trying to figure out how to become profitable. I mean, if something like WeWork fails so spectacularly, and in such a huge fashion, like, I mean, yes, SoftBank really gave them a long leash and all that, but I just feel like there have been enough calamitous failures that it's just more, it's going to be more difficult. So I think the idea of everything being free may be less common. And I also feel like advertising has seeped back in to everything. You know, I'm an Amazon Prime subscriber, and now all of a sudden it's like, well, if you don't want ads, you got to pay us another $3 a month.
Which there's a class action lawsuit now against Amazon.
Yeah, I saw that. But I mean, the idea that, like, nobody wants commercials. No one. Except for the advertisers. And it's like, how the hell do they keep pushing this stuff back in? You know, it's just catnip. I just don't think that they can withstand the, you know, here's more money. And to be fair, you know, like, streaming services in particular have done a terrible job of managing, you know, they basically turned themselves from content companies into tech companies and didn't realize how expensive that was. So I looked back at, like, historically at streaming services prices, and like, most of them are double, you know, what they were when they, at least when they started, and all of them are trying to find some way of incorporating advertising, which just pisses me off. I already pay for the higher price for Hulu and one other one to not see ads, and I wonder how long it's going to be possible to do that.
Since we're talking about browsers, I thought this was interesting. Chromium, the Chromium project, is rolling out web monetization, which maybe Firefox could include in their browser and get a cut. It says, let me put it in the show notes so you guys can see it before I talk about it. So what it is, it's a way for site owners to generate revenue without ads. So basically, you go to a site and you agree to, you know, well, I'll just read it. It's easier to. it facilitates automatic micropayments to website owners for viewing their content, potentially replacing traditional advertising models. Allows web pages to notify the browser of their readiness to receive payments passively, eliminating the need for payment request pop-ups. Enables payments for only the content viewed without being constrained by minimum payment thresholds typical of standard subscription models. For example, websites utilizing web monetization can grant immediate access to premium content when a user agrees to the terms without requiring upfront payment. After viewing a paid video, the browser automatically processes a micropayment transaction without interrupting the user's experience. It supports voluntary contributions for valuable content and allows users to set up automatic small payments to their favorite websites upon each visit, which is an interesting model, I would think, instead of going to PayPal and giving them money or setting up a subscription service or something.
Didn't Firefox have something similar, but it was a Bitcoin?
I don't know.
I'm trying to remember. That you could give to the different websites that you go to or choose how it got split up. I don't remember. It's thought it was one of the ones that I had invested in, you know, that I made so much money on.
It says the technology does not permit sites to set payment amounts, but allows them to express willingness to accept payments. It's up to the user to decide the payment amount, frequency, and whether to pay a particular site. So go ahead and implement this on the Linux Lugcast webpage, Honky, and you'll just see millions of dollars rolling in. For some reason, I see this being abused in the future.
Yeah, I see Honky rolling around on 20-inch gold-plated rims and changing the name of the show to the Rimcast.
Yep. You know Honky.
That Rimcast is a whole other podcast, trust me.
That's on his OnlyFans.
That's right.
Whatever pays. I mean, if I can make as much as some of those women do on OnlyFans, let's close here.
There's one more link I want to bring up here just because it affects me and Honky and whoever else uses Nginx. And it's that the main developer of Nginx is forking Nginx to free Nginx. Which I don't know how this is going to affect Nginx Proxy Manager or any of that stuff. If they're going to use the fork, I'll put the link in the show notes. But his reasoning is kind of scary. It's called Free Nginx. It's a quick note on the mailing list. It says, as you probably know, F5, which is the company that develops Nginx, closed Moscow office in 2022 and I no longer work for F5 since then. Still, we've reached an agreement that I will maintain my role in Nginx development as a volunteer, and for almost 2 years I was working on improving Nginx and making it better for everyone for free. Unfortunately, some new non-technical management at F5 recently decided that they know better how to run open source projects. In particular, they decided to interfere with security policy Nginx uses for years, ignoring both the policy and developer's position. That's quite understandable. They own the project and can do anything with it, including doing marketing-motivated actions, ignoring developer's position and community. Still, this contradicts our agreement, and more importantly, I no longer able to control which changes are made in Nginx within F5 and no longer see Nginx as a free and open source project developed and maintained for the public good. As such, starting from today, I will no longer participate in Nginx development as run by F5. Instead, I'm starting an alternative project which is going to be run by developers and not corporate entities. FreeNginx.org. The goal is to keep Nginx development free from arbitrary corporate actions. Help and contributions are welcome. Hope it will be beneficial for everybody. That's a huge announcement. I can't tell you how many people and companies use Nginx for their web server. I mean, it's huge. It's got to be in the millions, you know, yep. of deploys of Nginx.
So was there any details of what it is that they're doing or
no.
changing?
All I had was this mailing list note on here.
He does then, link to freenginx.org.
Yeah.
But it doesn't say like a security certificate.
What they were doing.
That's fun.
Oh, it's yes. not, is it?
Well, let me see if I put HTTPS, if it does.
That's crazy. Well, maybe
it does.
Not, okay, so it's not loads. Forcing SSL.
Then. It's not forwarding, yeah.
Yeah, because in NPM, there's an option to force SSL, which I always click on. But, yeah, that's big time. So I don't know what's going to happen. Is NPM going to switch to free Nginx, or are they going to keep F5 version of Nginx to keep F5s? What does it mean by corporate intrusion? Like, what exactly would they be doing, especially with security policies?
Right.
Which is
probably because you've got paid subscribe, they do a payment, don't they, a pro? And I'm guessing they're rolling out the security measures to the pro users first or something.
Are they? Yeah. Okay, let's see.
Because Nginx, you can have paid support. Okay,
they have Nginx Plus.
They've had that for a while, though. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, it says a suite of products that form the core of Nginx. So I'm wondering what you get with Nginx Plus. I mean, starting at $3,600 per instance.
Maybe support of some kind.
It says achieve uncompromised performance and reliability with adaptable and dynamic load balancing and lightweight real-time Nginx API gateways. implement Nginx App Protect WAF and DOS protection for apps and APIs with global policies and fine-grained controls for developers and API owners. That's just corporate mumbo-jumbo, but yeah, I don't know.
I'm guessing they're rolling out the security measures to those guys first.
Like what Ubuntu Pro does or whatever? Interesting. So, there's a new Nginx.
Well, you know what? Maybe this will be a net positive and people will actually embrace it instead of... I mean, if it's the main developer, I would think that, you know, people would follow his work. If he hasn't worked with them for a few years anyway, you know? And I mean, I run plenty of Nginx instances, so I'm now thinking, like, if this is a drop-in replacement, is it worth the effort to do, or will the hosting companies rebase on this, or
will it be? I wonder if it's in the repos yet, or if it will be.
I don't see a link to. Oh, I see download. Yeah, it's downloading from their site. So I don't see a link like GitHub or something like that, or source code.
One of these shows, you guys are going to have to do a deep dive on Nginx.
Boy, that would be difficult. I used to know a lot about Nginx, but since Honky switched me to NPM, it's just... I don't know all the ins and outs. Like, I used to write all the configs by hand and stuff, and I don't have to do that anymore with Proxy Manager. Honky turned me into a big baby. But we could go into NPM.
Okay.
Proxy Manager. I know more about that.
It's your deep dive.
Yeah.
I'm curious. Definitely. I'd love that. To hear about it.
Okay. You can build it from source. They have, if you kind of dig into the download or go to the documentation. You can see there. Interesting. So, I don't know. I guess we'll see what the future holds, you know?
Yeah. What are you looking for a deep dive?
How to use it?
What it is, how it works.
Why you need it.
How you configure it, set up.
I mean, I could probably just share my screen and show you what...
Well, not this show. It's late already.
Yeah,
that's a very good point.
Yeah, it is late. Are we going to get to the movie?
Oh, we do. Let's talk about the movie. This epic, super speedy, awesome, action-packed movie.
The net, but crappy?
Now, did you add this to the list, Mortensy? Takeover?
I think he said he did. Yeah.
No?
I don't think I'm the one that added it. But let me give the synopsis real quick.
Yeah, you do that.
The net,
okay,
but crappy.
So here's what you do. You take the net. You mix it with speed.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have two Julia Roberts movie with a
kind Julia of Roberts?
Almost... Not Julia Roberts.
Let's try that again.
Sandra, my bad.
My tongue glitched right there.
Sandra Bullock with a young Sandra Bullock almost look-alike, except maybe a little bit cuter. And then you take all the interesting parts of those two movies away, and then you take away its budget, and then you have this. Oh, and don't forget, you took basically the imagery from Hackers, you dumbed it down, and you used that to try and explain how computers and hacking worked.
Oh, all those little lights and zipping around. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you hear what she said? She said, "This is what it looks like in my head when I'm coding, reading code." Like that's so stupid. For people
that are listening, if they just left that out, it would have been even better. The movie would have been better, but they had to just throw it in there.
For people listening, whenever this woman is coding or quote unquote hacking. there's this looks like an old 80s hologram images that are like filling her head with like Tron like imagery and stars and
Tron hallucination.
Yeah. It is the exact same plot as the net, but yes. There's a runaway bus.
Yeah. So where did they get these ideas from, I wonder?
It's funny how you said it, because there was an IMDb reviewer that said almost the same thing, except they said locate the net and speed in modern day Rotterdam and replace originals with worse acting and direction, and you end up with this movie, which was spot on.
I'm glad I'm not the only one that saw that.
Right.
I guess we don't need to go into the plot too much, because that's basically what it is.
That's the plot.
Yeah, that's the plot. But
well, you don't get speed until the very last, like, 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So it's mostly the net the whole time, and then it's speed.
Right.
In the beginning, you know, I was kind of had my hopes up a little bit because of what they were doing on screen. I posted a screenshot in Matrix. It was all JavaScript. Was there hacking for some reason? I guess Dutch hackers are very partial to JavaScript, because I took a screenshot and I looked at it. I said, that's fucking JavaScript. And so I thought, well, at least they're using a real programming language. But then they started the holographic hallucinations, the Tron like hallucinations whenever she's actually hacking. And I threw my hands up and I was like, oh, why are you doing this?
stupid. I could get past the whole visualizing hacking thing because, you know, most people have no freaking clue and it makes it interesting for them. But the severe, like, blatant, horrible lack of chemistry between your main character and her boyfriend by
love interest.
Love interest. And like, no, I understood that first scene where she just like ghosted his ass, and that should have been the end of it for that character. But by the end of it, they end up together. And even still, with all the excitement that went on, there was zero chemistry. Those two, no.
You know what?
Right.
I honestly wondered if it was like a Dutch thing and like they don't want to show like that type of romantic stuff in a Dutch movie, because it's like their sensibilities or something.
If you go to Amsterdam,
it's
a lot more liberal as far as sexuality goes than here.
And that's true.
I know. Oh yeah, the ending. We'll get to that in just 1 second, though. But I know, like Eric said, that he had to watch this at 1.5. Now, I figured I was just going to watch it at 2x during like the slow parts to the build up. I didn't realize that the entire movie was the slow parts.
I forgot that I was watching it on 1.5. That's how bad.
I don't know how people watch this at 1x. I don't.
The English dub was terrible. I mean, the acting was already bad. The English dub was just added more levels.
I watched it
terrible.
With subtitles. Copy I had. Oh, did you have an English dub? Yeah.
I couldn't do it. Anyway, I watched it. I was at 1.5, and it a lot of times like something will come up, like you're saying, Joe, where I like have to lower the speed to like get through a part to understand what was happening. Nope. I could have easily watched it on 2 the whole time and not needed to slow it down, because it was just so predictable.
I was halfway through the movie and I looked to see that I was halfway through the movie, and it's like, I thought I was still in the opening sequence, because not shit has happened.
Mm-hmm. Nope. Yeah, the whole, you know, visualizing the mainframe and then using a Trojan horse to nullify the attack. Yeah. It was just
that's an image of a finger, middle finger on the screen. That's the big FU.
Their hackers scene at the beginning. That was definitely a hackers scene at the beginning.
Oh, that hacker crew?
No. Before that.
Oh, where she got caught.
Oh, where she was got a kid caught. Still, yeah.
Right, and they just go up to her house. We're going to recruit you now that we found it. How did you do this? Mm-hmm. Oh,
right. I'll tell you how I found you if you tell me how you did it. Like, mm-hmm. and the hacker crew is just, you know, here's the girl with the pink, you know, lipstick, and here's the guy with the long hair who's like, you know, yelling at her. It just. so silly. Everything's got RGB and like, ugh.
Well, now, what did you think about the, because this part I thought was interesting was the crime, the actual crime that was happening was the whole premise is that there's these self-driving buses in Rotterdam and,
did
you want to say something?
It wasn't just self-driving buses. It was all the cameras that were
that's what I'm
basically every. Okay, go ahead.
So the crime that's happening is okay. So you get on this bus and it's explained as well. Your face is scanned. That way you don't have to pay anything. It already knows who you are, and your payment is automatic or whatever. You know. So you get on. But the actual crime that's happening is your face is scanned, and somehow all of your medical information, your blood type, your social security, whatever, your banking information.
Your credit card.
Yeah, your credit cards are all drawn in from this face scan and sent
where?
To the Chinese government.
That's China.
what was the name of the security company? Xiaoming?
Yeah, Xiaoming. They played for the Rockets. You know, that's a big center they had. Xiaoming. So that was what was actually happening behind the scenes is why the Chinese government needs this. I'm not sure.
These are pictures. Like
was this movie paid for by the government to trick us into thinking that to trick people into thinking that this hasn't happened already?
I guess.
Yeah. Right.
No. The whole point was identity theft from the Chinese government.
Mm-hmm. So this was the part that was just made no sense to me. So they did a deep fake of her to set her up. They show her shooting this homeless guy and
they said he was a former hacker. He wasn't a former hacker. He was just some homo.
Okay. They dressed in that.
They do a deep fake of her being, where they basically just covered over a guy's face. So already the body is wrong, so it was so good and so infallible that they couldn't figure out, they couldn't tell that it was a deep fake. So it was so they're trying to figure out, well, how do I do this? Her smoking gun, the evidence she needed was to find out whether the bus scanned her face, because they could have never done a deep fake of her from her social media,
the bus has a
camera in the whole world that could have ever scanned her face and used it to make a deep fake video.
Although
not even those other videos that they
although they used them. Like closed circuit cameras
everywhere
around the whole city to track her.
Right.
Yeah. So that was a special camera. And the guy that the person that was deep fake that was the model was a man with a hat on to make it even harder for them to map a face onto the head, It was some of the ideas actually had some merit. Like, I kind of thought, deep fake, set up. That was kind of interesting.
They found a root kit.
Oh, did they?
Oh, they found a root kit. That was the original premise. She found a root kit.
That's what was funneling the data.
She put on a Trojan to block the root kit.
Wait. Did you say that she put on a Trojan
She put on a Trojan.
Okay.
She put on a Trojan.
I said it just like that because yes.
All of the companies that were tied to this Chinese company that was behind this face theft thing supposedly then became locked out of all their systems by this Trojan horse. And they were they kept coming after her
to get the encryption key.
Of course, because it all encrypted everything. They didn't even try to consult with someone on technology. Like, they just
threw word salad out there.
No one who sees this
there.
Is going to care. Nah, who cares,
So and it worked for the net. It'll work for us.
I think Windows IT people think this is the way it works.
possibly. Could be. Possibly.
It could be. But if this was an actual, late 90s, early 2000s movie, it would be acceptably camp because technology
I'm pretty sure that their tech guy was Johnny Lee Miller.
It's inexcusable in 2022. I'm sorry, it's too lazy. Like, figure out, get a consultant. It's not going to cost you that much money to have your cousin who's in IT sit and go, wait, no, don't say Trojan horse. Pick something else. And then, go ahead.
So at the end, after she finally finds the fact that they have a copy of her face in the system, that was the big thing that she was looking to find. The person who she used to be her mentor, who she's
buddy
that she sicked the
she snitched on
what is the government agency covers whatever all of the EU area whatever six
Interpol
Interpol thank you six Interpol on him. And he was all mad about because he was funneling some of the money that they were supposed to be, Robin Hood style, taking
back to the victims.
Instead of turning it back to the victims, he was pocketing it. So the end of the movie is, hey, I still have some, I didn't spend all that money that I stole. I'm giving it all to you. Now you can go out there into the world and you can go rob from the rich all by yourself. I got you all set up.
He created a network.
Sure.
He created a network so that she had a system to work from in order to be able to continue her work.
But what does that even mean? I made a network.
So presumably
I stole all this money. Network. You were mad that I stole all this money. Now I'm giving it to you.
Right. But presumably it meant that there was a warehouse somewhere. Now you have somewhere.
The stolen money.
Did you like his... I gotta say, I actually liked his round setup in his workstation. I thought that was pretty cool to have, computers and monitors all around you.
It was very hacker.
Yes.
Like... Hollywood hacker, like
That other movie we watched with Seth Green in it, like his
what was that called? You remember?
Doesn't matter.
Dumpster Fire.
No
more free advertising for that thing. Yeah, so I mean, it was suitably bad, but suitably bad acting. I thought the tantrums were very, very funny. Like where she goes out in the field and starts yelling and swearing because Buddy got shot and and anytime they had to show any sort of real acting, it was just a train wreck. None of them, absolutely none of them could act.
It was fucking horrible.
Was it that bad? Really?
That guy, the love interest, the one with zero tech skills and that couldn't cook but he could drive a truck in front of a bus and get rear-ended by the bus and then jump from the truck to the bus to hook up a piece of hardware.
And why was he doing that in the first place? Why wasn't the cops doing that,
Because cops had no clue. They had no time to set up. And he was the only one with this piece of hardware because it was in Buddy's truck.
Oh, right? That's right. It was in Buddy's truck. You're right.
And so he magically, because all they told him was it's in the front of the bus and you got to hook it into the top port. So he jumps in this bus and he automatically knows exactly where it is in the front of the bus to pop open this panel down on the floor and then hook this thing with the cable into the top. And then magically it's connected.
Well, did she tell him beforehand where to put it? I don't remember her doing that.
She just said in the top port.
That was it.
Because I remember him saying that, but...
It was really dumb and incongruent that he, jumped through the roof, pulled the panel up. Yeah.
How did he know that there was roof access on the top of that bus? Had he seen that bus before or something?
They had 10 minutes of film left in the camera. And they're like, we don't have time to explain it. Just do it.
Just ram your truck into this bus and jump on top.
It was strange. I'll give you that.
There was a gaffe listed on the IMDb. I didn't notice it, but they said in the first scene when she goes into the server room to the mainframe, she plugged in an HDMI cable instead of a network cable.
I do remember that. Yeah. I was wondering what kind of cable that was. I thought it was a USB cable or something.
Yeah.
But can't you do network over HDMI now?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. It's my preferred method, actually.
HDMI to USB?
I thought I read something about... Or is that just... you can do multiple monitors. I thought you could do data transmission with HDMI.
I'm sure you can, but it requires setup on both ends.
Anyways.
So let's hear your ratings, guys, for this awesome
rating film. Or just thumb up or thumb down?
I have to give this neither a thumb up nor a thumb down because
I'm glad I didn't watch it.
Yeah,
it wasn't a good movie, but
did you watch it?
I'm not willing to call it a bad movie.
I did. Yeah, I haven't
heard your thoughts yet.
It was terrible. I gotta give it a thumbs down. It just wasn't hitting it for me. It was okay. Yeah.
It was basically nothing. So I cannot give it a thumbs up or a thumbs down.
Well, I can't give it a thumbs down just because we've seen so many things that are so horrifically worse than this. The bar has already been set. It's not nearly as bad as
my attitude toward not watching the movie of the week has been validated.
Yes.
Yet again.
Now, the only thing is, of course, I don't have a vehicle so that I can validate the parking that goes with it.
What?
I just want to say, if it was me that added it to the list, I apologize. Most of the ones I added, I did a search. I did several times for movies with the keywords Danny put.
I have added some horrible things to there. I think I got a couple of the stinkers on the list.
There's no need to apologize.
This is one of the few movies that actually, you know, fit in the criteria of a tech movie. It definitely was a tech
movie. Yeah.
I want to say credit for Psycho Goreman.
You can. So I give it. I'm gonna go with Joe. I'm gonna give it a half a thumb too. And you do too, Honky?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'll be back, guys.
All right. So that's half.
I'll go down.
None, and none.
I found very, very little redeeming qualities.
Okay, 1.5 stars then.
If you like, I would have
preferred
Rotterdam,
the sleep.
Yeah. Again, if I had to watch it without the 1.5 speed, I would have gotten word.
Well, it can't all be Oscar winners, I guess.
Well, I have to say, I'm surprised. So there have been a couple stinkers since I joined you guys. but it's really been sort of a mixed bag. And it's been some things that I really liked. I thought there were some really stupid parts and bad decisions in Megan I wish they hadn't made. If they hadn't made her super strong, I think it would have made a lot more sense. Like, if she was just relying on her cunning, I would have loved that movie. Honestly, until they got to where she started, like, choking people and, like, became the super horrible robot at the end, which just ruined it for me. I actually thought it was a pretty cool movie. I thought the last one we watched, the whatever girl.
Virtual Fire.
Takeover.
No, the one that they were trying to catch, the pedophiles.
The Artifice Girl.
I thought that was, and I know it was a slow, boring movie that was essentially a stage play.
But it was the concept was
but the concept, and it was well acted, I thought, you know. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. So that's my point, is I think, like, it's easy for me to think, like, you guys are just intentionally picking shitty movies. But
no,
like,
we're not.
I don't necessarily think that's true.
No, it's not.
So
not at
it
all.
Just happens to be that the shitty ones are really shitty, not just kind of.
I think with the criteria that to add it, you haven't seen it.
Yeah.
Implies that nobody has recommended it because it is shitty.
It also reminds me that there are so many movies made that unless someone recommends them, you will never ever find.
Yeah, that's right.
So taking a chance on, and a lot of them are actually, even if they're not well acted, like, I've seen a lot of terribly acted movies that I actually like, that it's not about the acting. It's more about the ideas conveyed, the locations. Like, there are things that can be interesting about movies that don't necessarily revolve around the best script or the best acting, but there's just so much, you know, you guys talk about what you watch. And there's just, like, I didn't recognize anything you guys said tonight about the TV shows, the series, like, the book. Like, there's so much stuff that I never see. And that's been a huge boon for me in meeting you guys, is that I've now seen a bunch of stuff I've actually enjoyed.
Yeah.
Some of it I haven't.
Kind of expand your horizons, you know.
Yeah.
It's good to watch stuff out of your wheelhouse, I think, because you may come across some hidden gems sometimes.
It's almost like without having a personal recommendation, you would never know these things exist. And
right.
So there's just, there's so much stuff. It's like music. It's the same thing where there's so much that I know I would really enjoy if I just knew that it existed.
That's one impossible. Of the reasons that I don't mind watching the horrible movies when we get them. It's because none of us know.
That's right. We're
supposed to find those diamonds in the rough, those hidden gems, right. If we don't slog through the garbage.
Well, and also exactly the truth right. is that the budget does not mean good. There are so many big budget movies that I've seen that I hate, like the Transformer movies, any of the Michael Bay stuff, like, you know, and they spend hundreds of millions of dollars making that stuff. Marvel Universe lost me about 5 years ago.
Yeah, you know? I can't stand them.
So,
I love practical effects. I love, you know, real stuntmen and action and, you know, and that's, I mean, I know a lot of people don't feel that way, but that's just me. And that's why I'm kind of stuck in the
early 90s. So that's why you love The Last Starfighter so much.
Well, that wasn't even practical effects. That was early CGI that looked like dog shit. That was like the first CGI. Yeah. When people saw that movie, they should have said, CGI is definitely not the way to go from now on when we're making movies. Let's just stick with practical from now on because it looks like absolute dog shit. So now we will make all practical
effects. That is one of the greatest movies ever.
Okay.
Don't besmirch it.
I won't. I'm sorry, Your Majesty.
Practical effects tend to hold up over time. Like if you go back and watch a movie with really well done practical
look
effects.
Look at the thing. It's awesome.
Oh, yep.
It's all practical, you know, stuff like that. All right. You ready for the new movie? Getting late. Let's see if I can hear it from hole here. Uh-oh. I messed up on the I'm having internet connections are the problems with this. Okay, so this one, there should be a caveat, because this is a sequel, and we haven't seen the original yet. This is called Nemesis 4 from 1996, but there's 1, 2, 3, and 4 on the list. So I file a motion to watch 1 instead of part 4. Is that okay?
Yeah.
What year was the original?
Original is 1992.
This promises to, you know, be a high quality movie.
Well, if the first one was so bad, you can't imagine they would make 4. So you have to figure the first one has some.
I don't know. They made a lot of Tremors movies.
Highlander.
Leprechaun.
It's a 1992 American cyberpunk action film. And I don't recognize any of the people that are in it. So, a lot of Japanese.
Yeah, this.
The imagery on it looks pretty cool.
I love cyberpunk. So, hey, awesome.
No, like the image on the front of the probably what was a VHS at the time cover art.
Thomas Jane is in it. Thomas Jane.
Brian James too. He was in that other movie too that we watched.
Which in the one? Year 2027, illegal androids have become commonplace, and many criminals enhance themselves with cybernetic components, making them more than human. Alex Rain is a delusional assassin bounty hunter for the LAPD. During a routine mission, he is attacked by a militant group known as the Red Army Hammerheads. Nearly killed by the surviving leader, Rosaria, Alex resists her assertion that he is a mindless robot. 86.5% of him is still human. So anyway, it's a really long plot.
Okay, this one has to go on the list. Which Warrior one? Versus Cyborg.
Oh boy, is that?
So that's how did Joe's you find fault that? When these movies get on.
Oh,
there.
I scroll down on the IMDb page.
Well, it's got to be good then, right? Oh, it's on Tubi.
Nemesis is on Tubi?
Yeah.
Seems right.
And it's reasonably rated, 5.4 out of 10. So, we've watched much worse.
It's the one from 1992, right?
Yep.
Would I put an IMDb? All
right. Yeah. Yeah, the takeover that I thought was on Tubi was a vampire movie.
Oh,
it was a different takeover. I didn't watch it. Because I was getting ready to watch it, I turned on Tubi, searched for The Takeover. I said, no, this can't be right. Vampires has nothing to do with acting. I realized it's a completely different movie.
Turned on Netflix and watched it.
Now, Nemesis actually has a Wikipedia page, too, unlike some of the movies we've watched.
That's where I was reading it from. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm watching the trailer on IMDb, and they cut to a shot of two that look like basically the agents from Matrix. So that's interesting.
Hmm.
They literally dressed exactly with the sunglasses and everything. So it was very Matrix-esque, which was 7 years earlier.
There's a Nemesis 5.
Really?
Wow. Yeah, it's on Tubi. It's on Tubi.
Should we add that?
Are they all on Tubi?
No. I see 1, 2, 3, and 5. I do not.
Good God, there's a lot of shooting in this movie.
I do not see 4. And then I see some other movies named Nemesis also on here.
It's got to be quicker moving than Takeover, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd imagine. It's only an hour and a half long.
Well, so was The Takeover, right?
Yeah, well, this movie is already shown in the ad. The, like, 5-minute ad has just been nonstop shooting, so.
That's what I'm saying. It's
actual action. Actual
action.
The Takeover wasn't a 6-hour movie?
No.
It felt like 2X.
Oh, stop motion robots.
Yes.
Right. So you're missing 4 from Tubi, from what I can see.
Oh, that's too bad.
Oh, my gosh. I'm actually excited to watch this now.
Be interesting.
Yeah. Martial arts. Lots of shooting. Jumping out of windows.
Look, Don the Dragon Wilson was supposed to be a martial artist, but half his movies, he's just shooting things.
That's true.
We were all disappointed with Don the Dragon Wilson, all right?
Yes.
I'll tell you what, for the number of times you've said his name since I started participating, it should be like drinking game.
That's because his movies keep coming up. Who keeps adding his movies to the friggin' list?
Danny? I think it's me. I'm sorry.
That was Danny.
I'm sorry. Anything that has cyber in the title or cyborg or virtual, it all has Don the Dragon Wilson in it.
I think if you listed all of the stars in all of the movies, that man's name would appear more than any other
in the movies
from our list.
You're probably right.
That you include the dragon. Every time.
Not Don Wilson. He's Don the Dragon.
Yeah, nobody knows who Don Wilson is.
Don Wilson like is that guy that lives down the street.
Yeah.
You know, this stares is Don at the children Dragon or something.
You guys crack me up.
All right, it's getting late.
All right, do we want to kill it?
I'm good with that, unless you guys got anything else.
Actually, Netminer, have you been working on your pies at all?
No, I haven't been doing much with the pies. However, I probably will start maybe in a few minutes. Now that I know how to install my Etherpad.
How are you going to do it? Are you going to do it bare bones, or are you going to do Dockerfile?
I think I'll do it bare bones. I just need something that I can put links into and get them from machine to machine easily.
That'll do it.
I also need to think about reorganizing some of my DNS, so I need to log into my router and get rid of some machines that will never be hooked up again.
Why did you have a static DNS set up for those machines?
Pseudo static. I have DHCP reservations.
Okay.
Since everything is looking for DHCP, I find just setting up a reservation works as good as a static address and
right
like that.
Yeah, going for a straight static would seem like it would be a giant pain in the ass, because you'd have to, the second you get it plugged in, make sure it gets assigned an IP, as opposed to just having it DHCP and then having it reserved DHCP.
I really agree with that. That's how I have all mine set up.
Yeah, me too.
Sometimes I'll go in and assign it also.
Oh, yeah.
But when you, especially with a Pi or an embedded device where maybe you're swapping out SD cards or trying new operating systems, you don't have to worry about setting that up every time.
Mine's all done to the router.
Yeah, yeah. And I remember when Raspberry Debian switched to systemd, there's a different way you configure the static IP address, and there was no documentation online. There were tons of people having the problem where their IP address wouldn't stay. And it took me months to figure out that, I have to figure out systemd now. But I maybe 9 months, almost a year of having Pi problems at home, not being able to get stuff to work.
Oof. By the only time I've ever changed something's static IP address was because I had like NPM set up to an IP address. So I figured I would go in and then just change it automatically to that, whatever the DHCP had given it, just to kind of, it's either I had to change one or I had to change the other. So, you know, change which the static IP address is, or change the settings in NPM. All right. Does anybody have anything else?
Yeah, one more thing, which relates to the show itself. Audacity, you don't use Audacity for the show, though, right? Or
me?
You do?
Yeah. No. I use Sox. It's a Sox script.
Audacity now has an AI transcription tool, so you can run, if we ever wanted to run the podcast through to create a transcript, or, I don't know, maybe a deaf person that was interested in see what was going on. I don't know how many deaf people are interested in podcasts, but if they were, Audacity now has an AI transcription tool so that you can get the transcript for the podcast.
The other advantage is it makes the audio searchable. So if you're posting the transcript somewhere and someone's searching for something we covered, makes it more accessible that way.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Lovecraft, do you remember that tool that what's his name from HPR used on the New Year's show?
The one to make the transcript?
Voice to text.
I do not.
Did it work pretty good?
I don't know. I didn't download it. Ken Ballen, HPR New Year's show.
It was like a real simple name, like
cinema recordings and transcripts. Yep, I forgot what the hell the program was called.
Was it Whisper?
Yeah, I think it was.
Yes, okay. Yep, Whisper. That
That's it. What Audacity's using too.
There you go.
All right, that's all I got.
Okay. All right. Anybody got anything else?
Nothing for me. Is that too loud?
No. Our next recording date will be March 1st, 2024. Our music is Downright, provided by Claw2 and Brome. And we'd like to thank Minix for the use of the Mumble server. I've been your host for this evening, Honky Magoo. With us tonight has been Eric.
Have a great couple weeks.
Fat Boy.
Good night, everyone.
Joe.
Good night.
Lovecraft.
Good night, everyone.
Minix.
Good night. Joe, let me know this week if you. Yeah. I can meet you for the power supply or whatever.
You still got my phone number?
I do got your phone number. I need to call you. I will. I love you all.
Word and see.
Good night, everyone.
And a minor.
Good night, everyone. Hope you have a good week or a couple of weeks. I'll talk to you later.
All right. See you all next time.
Good night, boys.
Good night.
Good.
Monkey. Hello, Fat Boy.
Hello, hello.
Good evening.
How is everybody tonight?
Pretty good. How about you?
Oh, not bad.
Have you been checking that Etherpad link? I got parts 1 and 3 of the New Year's Eve show done.
Awesome.
Have you heard from Scotty at all? Or
he was on last week's show. He's been working on it, I know.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I didn't know like if he was working on it in the same Etherpad or what he was doing exactly.
Well, that was his links down at the bottom there, wasn't it? No, he was doing it in markup.
Was that from him? I wasn't sure who that was from or if that was like left over from something or other. I started working at the top and there seemed to be a bunch of blank space, so I just didn't want to disturb anything. I guess that was him then. Okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure the way he had it set up because it's like A, B, C, D, and then it's marked down in the links there.
Yeah, it looked like everything was like split up by like different letters and stuff like that. Like
right.
Yeah, I wasn't sure how that was working, but okay. I just kind of split mine off with, it should be obvious where each part starts and ends, so.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah, no problem. I just wanted to make sure everything was moving forward and we're all good.
What's the show number for today?
238. I gotta get the show notes up.
Yeah, I really need to get an Etherpad up on my systems.
Yeah, it's pretty handy.
Okay, looks like I've got this set up now. Can everybody hear me?
No, cannot hear you at all.
That's a joke, son. Well, Joe, how you doing?
I'm doing okay.
And more importantly, how's Jackie doing?
Hey, allergies are bothering her. Well, she's hiding up in the bedroom.
Well, please give her my best, and
we'll do.
I figure you can figure out something that'll keep her mind off her allergies.
Maybe.
Well, folks, if you were going to install Etherpad, would you install it bare bones or through Docker or what?
I have it installed on Docker. I'm not sure if that's the preferred way of doing it, but I would probably go bare bones if we can. Because Docker's got some plugins to it, and I think I messed around with the plugins once before and wound up borking it. So, and wound up having to wipe out whatever Docker container I had and then restart it from scratch. And if I didn't play around with the plugins too much, then everything just worked fine. But I've done it before when I played just like one or two plugins and everything still worked fine. But I don't know. Bare bones might be the best way to go.
What's the show number?
238.
How about that movie?
Yeah, how about that movie?
Where's Danny?
I don't know. He didn't make any mention to not showing up on time or taking a nap or whatever. So I'm assuming he'll show up.
I need to eat something eventually.
Usually a good idea.
Are we opening the Jitsi?
I haven't yet, no. Again, if you want.
Can somebody paste the server address for the Jitsi? Because I can't remember it.
Jitsi.minix.dev/lugcast.
Okay, I got Jitsi.dev, dev. What was it? Linux?
No, Jitsi.minix. Jitsi.minix. .dev/Linux.
I posted in the chat.
Oh, thank you. For some reason, I can't post in the chat. I can see the chat, but I can't post in it.
Did you see my link?
Yes, I did.
Oh, okay. Weird.
Yeah, the little box where you can enter things in is just gone from my Mumble.
Okay, is my audio sounding okay?
Yeah, you sound fine.
A little hollow, like, I don't know. But not bad.
No, not bad at all.
Yeah, I just put Mumble on this desktop. I don't usually use it, so yeah, we'll see how it goes.
Okay, so why is Jitsi not seeing my camera?
Mine says it's waiting for the moderator.
I am the moderator at this time. Until Danny comes and, you know, kicks us all off and makes us re-log in again as the moderator.
Probably, if he's going to set up the recording, he might.
Yeah. Why won't it see my camera? Stop this. Do this. Reload this. I guess I'll have to go get my other camera.
Mute your Jitsi.
Why would I do that? Crazy talk.
How much do you guys usually pay for your internet, or do you get it bundled in with your TV and stuff?
Depends.
Mine is delivered by my foreman company, $45 a month, I think.
Mine's bundled in with a TV. I got a Verizon Fios for internet and TV and actual phone, but I never use the landline.
I pay Comcast just for internet.
Yeah, I've just, because I was paying about $70 a month, and I've just swapped provider. They came knocking on the door and offered a sweet deal on gigabit internet, and yeah, got it for $50 a month.
Nice.
That's pretty good. Is that a promo speed or a promo price for like so many months? Or
yeah, it's a 2-year deal, $50 a month. The other one was about 300 meg. So that was $70 a month. So I had to buy that out. It cost me about $100 to buy out. But the new provider gave me more or less that in a kickback type of thing, an incentive, and I'm still $20 off better a month. So yeah, it's a good deal. $50 a month for 2 years.
You switched to AT&T?
I switched from Shaw, which is a local operator one. It's now owned by Rogers. I'm north of the border here. And moved on to Telus.
I had switched to AT&T, their fiber. That's actually doing me real good right now. Because it's actually half price, actually less than half the price what I was paying Spectrum. And I get, you know, 300 up and 300 down. So, or I was getting 300 down and like 20 up. So I'm happy with the lower price and the higher speeds.
Yeah, as I said, I went for 300 down, 100 up to a gig up and down. But you find that a lot of even the speed testing, depending on where you go to, and if you're trying to download an ISO, a lot of servers won't really kick anything out faster than 400 anyway.
Well, a lot of your house has to be wired correctly.
Yeah, if I do one of the speed test sites that's based in Calgary, I get a gig. That's not a problem. You find that when you start pulling ISOs down for like different websites, like from the Ubuntu website or something like that, they can range between like 300 and 600 the speed.
I would usually stick to things like speedof.me. Well, no, that's basically the one I would use is speedof.me. Fast.com sometimes.
Yeah, I've been going around quite a few of the speed test sites, and they don't have very a lot. It's only one that I've actually managed to get a gig out of, and I get a gig constantly off them.
Yeah, but it's probably because it's slow on their side, not slow on your side. Like I said, I would try out speedof.me. Could work anywhere in the world.
I am on DSL, so the speed is okay.
Hear me?
No.
Evidently, Mumble locked up. What the heck?
You're just having all sorts of luck. Camera not working. Your audio started siloning for a minute there.
Huh. Okay, if I try to use the chat in Mumble, what's up?
If you try to use what with what?
If I try to use the message to channel in Mumble locks up. put it into Jitsi. Or I won't. Paste function that's causing problems.
Also have your audio set up so that it didn't capture the first couple of words you said. Because your mouth was going for about half that and we didn't catch half of it.
It's better that way. It really is.
might make it a little bit difficult to understand some of you, but that's all right. We'll just have to piece it together.
Readjust some settings there. See if that works a little bit better.
Well, better late than never.
Anybody here?
Nope, nobody here.
Hey, there he is. What, did you just wake up?
Yeah. Take a nap.
Hey, sorry I didn't make it by last weekend. Yeah, I was trying to. Shit happened.
Are you recording, Joe?
No, I am not recording. Mm. We figured you were going to get on and kick us all off and restart as the moderator, and then you'd start recording.
That's a good idea. Hang on.
I opened it as moderator, so...
Oh. I can't be the moderator then.
So then I need to exit and you can be moderator. Okay.
Did you exit?
I did. I exited.
Okay. It works now.
Let me know when you're done logging in.
Yeah. Not yet.
And don't forget to mute.
Yeah. Won't let me join as moderator. Something else. Funny going on.
Well, do you want to kick us all out or just everybody close it off for a minute?
Yeah. If everybody can log off, we'll see what happens. There, okay, now I can log in. All right, you guys can log back in. Okay. Rumble. Oops.
Now we're both the moderator.
Really?
I see an M next to both of our names.
Oh, well, let me see if I can record. Yeah, we are. All recorders are currently busy. Hang on. Something's not right.
Next time I just won't log in.
Okay. I ended it. That should end it for everybody. Start again.
And it made me a moderator again.
Can you log out?
Okay. I'm out.
Try to record. Trying to record. Okay, it's recording now. Now everybody can log back in. Settings.
Okay, I'm back in, and I am a moderator, but it is recording.
It's recording now. That's all that matters.
And can you mute?
Yeah, again? Let me start the mumble real quick. So I can sync that. Recording. Test. 1, 2, 3. Test. It's okay, Buster. Test. All right, now I'll mute.
Oh, so do we want to start with what everybody's been watching lately?
Oh, do you want to get that power supply this weekend, or are you going to be busy?
I'm off all week, so even if I don't get it over the weekend, because I do have Mintcast on Sunday, I can pick it up on Monday or something.
Well, that's cool. If
are you working? What time do you get off?
I get off at 6.
Okay. I don't know exactly where you live, so...
I live in Addison. I had Preston.
How long's the drive?
To your place, probably 20 minutes.
20 minutes? Okay, that's not bad.
Bad. I listened to myself on the recording last time. You could really hear me breathing. I didn't notice that. But I can't hear it myself.
See, what you need to do is just stop that.
Stop breathing. We would appreciate that a lot.
That way it just won't go over the recording.
Need to clean my glasses. Who are we missing? Everybody's here? Warrensy?
You never know with him. He might be out doing something fun with the fiance.
That boy's here. Yeah. I guess they made it to Singapore okay and all that.
By the way, welcome, Fat Boy. It's nice to have somebody new on join the clan.
I got a food review that I tried on the show. Picked it up at Tom Thumb.
What is it?
They're called Quest Protein Chips. They're like tortilla chips, but they have a small bag, but it's got 19 grams of protein, it says. 4 grams of carbs, net carbs.
Tastes like cardboard.
I don't know yet. I haven't tried them. I was waiting. I was holding on to them for the show.
Well, pop them open and give them a try. You can say they taste like cardboard.
Loaded taco flavor.
And they cost 3 times as much as a regular bag of chips.
Yeah, it's a small bag of chips. It is over $3. But it's the same size that comes out of like a, what are those machines, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So if I can find them cheap and if they taste good, I might get them.
I don't think that's going to be a concern for you.
You don't think they'll be good?
No. As a matter of fact, I know they won't be.
You've had them before?
Yeah.
Did you get them at the same time as you got your crappy Diet Cola there?
No, I got these at Tom Thumb. The Diet Cola I got at Kroger, where RC said he gets his diet right. Is that what he said he drinks? Well, he said he used to drink Tab, but now he drinks something. I think it's Diet Right.
Kroger's store brand of their sugar-free soda is not terrible. I mean, it's nothing to write home about, but...
Well, I thought this is stevia.
It's a good price.
So I thought it would taste better than just the regular aspartame sodas, you know? But it doesn't. It'll taste bad. What are some other alternative sweeteners? Like monk fruit, I guess.
Yeah. Erythritol.
They use agave nectar in that that water we drink, but that's not really... That's not... Still calories. Basically sugar, right? Agave nectar?
Fruit. Yeah.
Why do they use that instead of sugar?
Because it's not processed.
Is that why?
Yeah.
What difference does that make?
Well, regular sugar usually goes through a very intensive process to become sugar.
So does that mean it's worse for you or what?
Well, it's got a lot of crap added and a lot of crap taken away, and they usually bleach it.
So raw sugar is better than white sugar?
I would say that raw sugar is probably better.
Just as many calories, though, right?
Yeah.
Kind of hungry, too. I watched the movie. Did y'all watch the movie?
Yes, yeah. I did.
And I watched some stuff on Tubi. I think I already told y'all I watched that movie that Netminer recommended. President's Man. Yeah, the Chuck Norris movie. That was free on YouTube. Let's see if I can figure out what else I watched. Man, this lady died at work yesterday. It's pretty crazy.
Did they have her job listing posted before the,
No. She didn't die at work, but she died at home.
Mm. Was she a friend?
I knew her well. I worked with her, but she was older, and she what do you call it? She smoked cigarettes, and she always looked really bad, and she was, I think, addicted to opiates too because of like pain and stuff. So she was, whenever I saw her through the halls, she was kind of like wobbling, you know, smoking. Her husband died 2022 Christmas, and maybe that affected her more than I thought.
Maybe.
I think they are both pretty unfit, so that's my message. Don't smoke, and if you haven't started, don't start, because it seems to be like one of the most addictive things you can do, I think.
Oh yeah, cigarettes. It's more addictive than heroin.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
Harder to quit than heroin.
Right. Why do you think that is? You think just because it's more easily available, or?
Yeah, it's more socially acceptable as well, but it does also affect the brain in some rather interesting ways. So,
I quit smoking cigarettes pretty easily.
Some people can. Some people can quit heroin pretty easy too.
Then again, I mean, I wasn't smoking like a pack a day or anything like that. I was only like a pack every 2 days or something.
Yeah, see, I was like honky in my 20s. I was smoking cigarettes, but when I really smoked is when I drank, you know? And then, so I told myself, well, I'm not going to smoke. I don't get a lot out of smoking anyway. I like to smoke when I drink, so I won't smoke unless I'm just drinking. And then so I would do that. And then it got to the point where I was like, why am I doing this? I just won't even smoke, you know?
I quit for, 6 months? Like that one Christmas?
Yeah.
I just quit cold turkey. And I stayed off it completely for 6 months and then started again when I started having low blood pressure problems. So it's possible, but it sucked. Oh my God, quitting sucked.
Yeah, I think I was more like honky. I felt like I had to smoke cigarettes. I liked it, you know, but I didn't feel like it just got me by the balls and it wouldn't let me go or something. I could quit. I just enjoyed smoking. I think I was dating a girl too that didn't like the smell of cigarette. Well, nobody really likes the smell of cigarette smokes, but it was to the point where she didn't want to kiss me or anything.
Oh, that'll do it.
Yeah, and so that was pretty good motivation.
Yeah, mine was I just wasn't feeling right anymore, and like we were also talking about having kids soon, so.
Mm-hmm.
My wife was very, you know, if you smoked like beforehand, you have to like completely wash yourself down before you could touch the baby type of a deal. So,
well, it started to get expensive too. You know?
Like, yeah.
Well, that was why I switched to vaping.
Yeah.
I was going to say, where would you rank like smoking cigarettes versus vaping?
Well, obviously it's better to do none of them.
Well, obviously.
But just... Let's say that smoking costs, if you're buying cheap now and you're getting $5 a pack and you're smoking a pack a day, what's that come out to a month?
Where are you getting five packs a day? $5 a pack a day?
Or $5 a pack.
I'm sorry.
Well, I'm saying a cheap pack. I'm just making the math easy.
Do you got to jump the border for like, that? Can you buy anything for $5 a pack?
Not usually. Usually it's like seven. But I'm just making the math easy.
I thought it was like up to 12.
Depending on where you're at. No, you can still get packs of cigarettes for about $7 each.
Well, but where Honky's at, it's really expensive, I think, up in the Northeast.
But let's do it at $5. Is it cheaper down south? At $5.
Yeah, it's cheaper here in Texas.
Oh.
Yeah.
So let's do it at $5 just to make the math easy. And there's roughly 30 days in a month, so you're spending roughly $150 a month on cigarettes. I spend about maybe $200 a year on vaping. Now, for health purposes, with vaping, you're not getting a whole lot of the carcinogens that you get with smoking. I mean, you're not getting the tar, you're not getting the carbon monoxide, you're not getting blah, 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 et cetera, all the additives that they put in it and everything else.
That being an actual burning crap that your smoke that you're breathing in as opposed to liquid water vapor.
Yeah. And especially like with mine where I mix it up myself, I know it doesn't have any of the dangerous additives that have caused people problems like diacetyl. Granted, No, none of your vape juices anymore have diacetyl, which was the cause of popcorn lung a couple of years ago.
All right.
So, it's because a lot safer alternative than smoking, but not as safe as breathing regular air.
Well, sure.
And if you have higher blood pressure, it's going to increase your blood pressure even more, and long-term high blood pressure can cause your valves around your heart to harden, even if you don't have a cholesterol problem.
It's tough on your kidneys, too. Yeah, nicotine, I think, is the main thing in vaping, as far as what would be dangerous, long-term nicotine.
Right.
And I like, sometimes I'll smoke a cigar, you know, if I'm out with friends and it, you know, I don't want to be the only one smoking a cigar, but
if everybody else is doing it,
yeah, everybody else smokes a cigar, like for a, like we're just a celebration or something, I might smoke a cigar. It's not a big deal, but I don't know. I don't do it regularly because I kind of like that nicotine buzz, you know, every once in a while.
Now, since it's cheaper down the down south, like $5 a pack, is there still a lot of people smoking cigarettes?
There's more than there should be, for sure. What gets me is I see a lot of young people smoking still. I'm just like, you have got to be retarded to smoke in 2024 to start smoking.
In the UK, they're trying to bring a law in so that.
You're doubled
if somebody's
up.
Like, boy. Sorry?
I think you got to mute your jitsi.
Mute your jitsi.
Dale, you're good.
I am muted.
Nope, now you're unmuted. Now you're muted.
I think that's better.
Yep, perfect.
Yeah, because I have the cursor on the other screen. I've got the jitsi open. Yeah, so in the UK, they're bringing out, or trying to bring out, whereas if you're going to be... Let's say you're 14 now, you'll never get old enough to be able to get cigarettes. So they're gonna bring it out so that in a few years' time, because it's 18 now in the UK to smoke, but every year they're gonna put it up a year. So then you've got to be 19, then you've got to be 20, then you've got to be 21 and 22. So some people who are, I don't know exactly when it's coming out, but say somebody's 16 now or 15 now, they'll never be legal to smoke in the UK.
That's interesting. Interesting strategy.
So the Northeast, it's like $12 a pack, and you have to be 21 to smoke cigarettes or purchase cigarettes.
It's 21 here too, Joe, right?
Is it?
I think they didn't they change it to 21? Yeah.
So you know what's funny though?
It's 18 for cannabis in Canada.
Cannabis, I think, is 21 up here. I don't know.
It's 18 in Alberta.
So at 18, you're legal to drive, you're legal to vote, you're legal to shoot a gun, you're legal to join the military, but you can't drink or smoke.
That's right. Yeah, that. I mean, I understand older people smoking. Because, you know, they probably got addicted when they were young, and there probably wasn't as much awareness about it. I know when I was a kid, I would smoke cigarettes like 15 or so. But there wasn't
a lot.
Well, there wasn't pictures all over everything. And I mean, now it's not even that it's like everybody knows it'll kill you. It's that. It's even stigmatized now, whereas when I was a kid, it wasn't really, you know, you still had smoking in restaurants and stuff like that. Now you're not going to see that. But now, if you just decide to start smoking, I got to think that you have something wrong with your brain. Like you've got fetal alcohol syndrome or just can't think straight, because that's ridiculous just to be 18, 20, 21, say, oh, yeah, I think we're going to start smoking cigarettes, you know? That's
I think a
ridiculous.
Lot of it has to do with where you grew up and the people that were around you. Mm-hmm. So it constantly surprises me if I go back to Western Pennsylvania, how many people just in general smoke, young, old, everybody. It's just such a common, and if they're not smoking, they're chewing tobacco, The tobacco industry itself just has such a strong base, and you would say maybe it's just because it's a mostly rural area, and that might have something to do with it, because I feel like if you're in a city, there are just enough of a mix of people that you don't see it. Plus, the laws usually are such that it's very difficult to smoke anywhere outside of like your own car or your house or whatever. But yeah, I mean, growing up for me it was an inevitability. Like, there were far fewer people who didn't smoke than did.
Yeah, I would say that too. That growing up for me, but you mentioned one thing that I never understood, which was like chewing tobacco or dipping snuff, or that just looked disgusting. I mean,
and see, to me, when you say it's a strange concept, it's so familiar. And like, I had multiple friends who would carry spitters around with them, and it was disgusting, and we all hated it, but they still did it. And like, my uncle smoked, but he was a coal miner, and so when he was in the mine, he would literally put dip between his toes, like, because it's nicotine, it's an addiction, you know. If you don't have nicotine, you get jittery and irritable, and like, so you got to get it somehow, right, Joe?
Yep. Probably put it in your asshole, even if you wanted to, and you absorb it that way.
I mean, I smoked until I was in my late 20s, and then I was just like, this is like, I can't do it anymore. It's just
stupid.
We were talking
about that before you came on. Me and Honky smoked. When did you quit, Honky?
2000, and my daughter was born in 12.
Well, how old were you?
So it was probably, well, I'm trying to determine. Year before 2011, so it was probably 30, 31.
Oh, so you're already 30, because I quit in my late 20s too, like Eric did.
Yeah, so it was probably early 2000s. That was it for me.
I didn't start smoking until after I was 18. I mean, yeah, I had tried it before that because, you know, everybody in rural Iowa was probably smoking, but
I was probably smoking every day by the time I was 15.
Yeah. But the whole thing for me, what actually got me like actually smoking, was being in the military, and that being the only way you were allowed to take a break.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, true. People still complain about that, where even at like restaurants or places of employment, like, smokers get free time. Whereas if you don't smoke, like,
you don't get that break.
Yep. Now, have they cracked down on smoking in the military since?
I have no idea. I haven't been in the military in 20 years.
I wonder if they have.
It doesn't seem like a good idea for them.
Yeah,
I would think so, but I don't think they. It's not like they're giving them to you anymore, I don't think, like it used to be.
No.
But I'm pretty sure you can still smoke if you want to.
Now, you know what I used to try, or I've done in the past, which I kind of enjoyed, was those, it's called Zen. Have you seen that? The little packet, nicotine packet that you just put under your upper lip or something.
But it's any different than dip?
Well, it's white, and you don't spit or anything. It just gets absorbed in your under your lip, but it's like
make your lip numb.
They used to, when you first started seeing them, they were called snooze.
Oh yeah, I know what snooze are. It's not. Well, I guess it's similar, except it's not. I don't even think it's tobacco. It's just a nicotine pat, or it's got nicotine in it. You know, it's
did
white.
It make your lip all numb?
It burns a little bit, but you get that buzz, that nicotine buzz. You know.
Yeah, so, but I'm not gonna lie.
Not smoking anything.
Yeah, I tried vaping for a little while, and I like nicotine. Like, I like how it makes me feel. Mm-hmm. And I like it a little bit, like, just as a waking up kind of thing. I was a coffee and cigarette in the morning.
Yes.
On my way to work kind of thing.
When I was in college, coffee and cigarettes were how everybody woke up.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely. But I just, vaping for me was too easy. It's too constant, too, like, it's just always available.
That,
like,
is a problem that I have, that I will just continually keep doing it and keep doing it and keep doing it.
Yep.
Which is, I couldn't stop myself. Mix myself up some zero nicotine, so that I'm not constantly bombarding myself with nicotine. But it is a problem. And that was one of the reasons that I had quit when I quit, was because I had just started, you know, doing it as like breathing, essentially.
Are we talking about this because they're giving you shit about it?
No, oh, they were talking about
I forgot smoking how it got being started. A bad idea.
Okay, I just wasn't sure.
Yeah, now, how did we start this conversation?
Danny brought it up.
But why did I bring it up? I don't remember.
You were talking about the lady that died at work and how she was a heavy
smoker. Oh, right.
My coworker died at work, but she was, you know, she was probably late 50s, early 60s, but she was a lifelong smoker. And she was always coughing, like every day she was coughing.
Oh, like hacking nasty.
Yeah,
Anyways, let's get back to what we were watching.
Oh, okay.
I was going to make one quick point. Right around the time I quit, vaping just kind of first started to creep out, and they had those e-cigarettes. So I tried one of those, and it was this big, long thing that tasted like... So anybody who smoked before, do you know what a Mustang cigarette is?
Mm-hmm.
They're basically one of the cheapest cigarettes that are out there.
Yeah,
they usually like the
Mavericks, Mustangs.
Yeah, Mavericks, Mustangs. This basically tasted like that, and it made my lips numb. So I'm like, fuck that. I've already mostly quit at this point. I'm just going to say, fuck it, I'm
also
done.
Gave you horrible hiccups.
It didn't give me hiccups, no. Yeah, it tastes. I'd be happy with something that had no nicotine, but still had that like cigarette flavor, because I like
honestly,
the flavor of the cigarettes.
The closest you get to something that actually tastes like a cigarette with like a vaporizer, which is why I do, you know, the fruitier flavors. But the closest you can get is a coffee flavor.
A coffee flavor, yeah.
And like the ones that are supposed to taste like tobacco, they always taste like fucking flowers.
Don't they make like herbal cigarettes or something that aren't tobacco?
They do make herbal cigarettes that don't have any of the nicotine in it, but you're still, you know, breathing in all that breathing
smoke
stuff.
Yeah.
I'll mention one thing. I was watching. I've been going through the Mortal Kombat Legends animated movies. Have you seen any of those?
No,
they're really good. I was surprised.
Well, that last one they did with...
I haven't seen the last one, the Johnny Cage one. But I watched the first two. I think it was Scorpion and... I can't remember.
Scorpion and Sub-Zero.
Yeah, those are the two I've watched. And those are really good. But I recommend those. They're pretty hardcore violent. I mean, they're not made for kids. But they're funny, and they got a lot of action and gore and stuff in them. They were good. But other than that, nothing of note to me.
Is the movie from 2021 any good?
Mm-hmm. I thought so. Yeah. Yeah, it's a throwback to kind of a retro 80s action movies, and it's fun. I think it's much better than the 1995 Mortal Kombat movie that came out, but
okay.
And it's kind of tongue in cheek, and you know, they didn't try to make it so gritty like they do the new DC Marvel stuff.
Gotcha.
What have you been watching, Fat Boy?
When I was last on this podcast, the movie was that Virtual Combat. I could not get through that movie.
That's okay.
I know why they call it Virtually Combat, because like they go to punch someone, but like they do it. Obviously, you're not going to punch them for real. But then the camera angles were like, and they're totally opposite where it's meant to be, and it was like, oh man, I got about halfway through the film. I could not do it.
Was that the crappy version of Virtuosity?
Yes.
Yes.
Don the Dragon Wilson.
Yeah.
The one with the whip scene.
Yes.
I don't think you probably didn't make it to the whip scene. That was one of my favorite parts.
Like that. I mean, the choreography. They couldn't have made it.
That was Honky's main gripe was the fight scenes.
The slow choreography too. A lot of the movies nowadays will have the same type of fight scenes, but they'll speed it up so it looks, you know, like fast-paced action. Well, this was kind of like,
yeah, even when they were doing it and they were meant to punch, you put your camera angle so you can't see it.
Yeah.
They put it in the totally opposite place, and you could see like the 6-inch gap of like it was just said to be crazy and like. It certainly wasn't like Bruce Lee or anything like that.
Oh, God, no.
No, it was bad. Definitely not. Not one of our better picks.
Sure. And what's bad is Don the Dragon Wilson is actually a good martial artist.
Yeah, he actually does good. Not the best actor, but martial artist.
I've watched some interesting stuff. Interesting-ish. Space Dandy, made by the same people that made like Cowboy Bebop.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
I like Cowboy Bebop.
Yeah, it's actually pretty decent. I haven't watched the whole series yet. I'm like halfway through it, third of the way through it, somewhere in there. But it is pretty good. As long as you're not expecting, you know, continuity.
How's the soundtrack? Is it as cool as
it's Cowboy decent. Bebop? It's decent. It's not as good as Cowboy Bebop, but still, it's decent.
Did you watch that Samurai one that they made with the rap soundtrack or the hip hop soundtrack? Samurai Champloo, I think it's called.
It's the same people. But yeah. No, I haven't watched Samurai Champloo.
That was good.
Or did I? Did I watch? Yes, I did watch Samurai Champloo. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's with the two Ronin and then the girl.
The blue one and
that. I did watch Samurai Champloo. And yeah, that was good.
That's all I know about anime is those two series.
And then I also watched a movie called Lift.
About an elevator?
That's one on Netflix.
Yeah, it's the one on Netflix where they like steal a plane.
I can't
remember that guy's name either. It just eludes me right this second. But he was in CIA.
Little guy.
I went to the cinema the other week and watched that. The Kevin Beekeeper.
Hart? Oh, the Jason Statham.
Statham. Yeah.
How was that?
Yes. Somebody said Kevin Hart. And that was it.
Kevin Hart.
That was me. Yeah.
Oh, Lovecraft. Did you ever finish Dark Angel?
Yes, I did. It was pretty bad.
Told you that the second season just...
Well, I was on this kick. I wanted to go, you know, check out some of these retro shows that I never got to see in completion or just bits and pieces. And that was when it was on Friday night. And I was always going out doing something better. And then I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna finish this up now. And as good as the first season was, the second season, especially the ending, was terrible.
Oh yeah, horrible.
It was bad. But it's off the list now. I finished it.
I like to do that too. I like to watch series that I missed at the time they were showing. Go back. I found some really good stuff that way. And Dark Angel, I haven't tried yet.
No, Lovecraft, I do have a suggestion for you of a show that is mostly good the whole way through. The last season, a little iffy, but it ran longer, and that's Killjoys.
Oh, yeah, Killjoys. I was watching, because that was on right after Dark Matter, I think, Sci-Fi Channel. And I actually like Dark Matter a little bit better, and then they canceled Dark Matter after, I think, season 3. And Killjoys, I think, did 5. I've watched Killjoys up until the end of season 4. I think I missed the last season. But no, I enjoyed that
show. You've watched the best of it then.
That's the Bounty Hunters in Space, right?
Yep.
Yep. Yeah, that was pretty good. The other older show that I'm working on now is Poltergeist, The Legacy. I don't know if you guys remember that one.
Oh, yeah.
I just love the concept of that.
You mean like the pre-seasons to Warehouse 13?
Yes, yeah, with the different legacy houses all around, and I really like the characters, and that was another one that I've seen bits and pieces of, and just
what year was that, Lovecraft?
Not sure.
90s or 2000s?
I'd say probably early 2000s. Not really sure, but it's worth a watch if you're into the like paranormal episodic kind of stuff.
I'll have to put it on my list. That one completely slipped my mind. I forgot it even existed. But
yeah, I remember watching it when it was originally on air. I don't know if I'd want to go back and watch it again. It does remind me of a lot of other shows, though, including like Warehouse 13, because it was very...
I loved Warehouse 13.
Yeah, awesome. I did too.
Yeah, Warehouse 13 was great. Yeah, this is... I think it had like a weird... like I don't know. It was one of those shows that was on, and then they moved it around, and I think it ended maybe like... I don't know, it ended up on like Saturday afternoons or something around here on TV eventually, and I just kind of lost track of it. But yeah, I'm looking to finish that one up at some point too. That's going to take a little bit though.
Yeah, and I still have to finish rewatching The Pretender. I don't know if anybody else remembers The Pretender.
I remember it.
Yeah,
I remember it too. I don't think I've ever seen a single episode though.
I liked it.
What else you watched, Joe?
That other than those two things, not a whole lot. I mean, Space Dandy and Lift and this one really, really slow Dutch movie.
Hey, I didn't put it on the list. I don't know who did.
Thank God Netflix has playback speed and 1.5.
Thank God that there's an extension to 4Plex that also works on Netflix that lets you get up to 2X.
I'll look for that next time because I could have definitely used a 2X. We'll get there.
What about you, Eric? You watch anything besides the movie?
Yeah. I've been watching a whole bunch of stuff. I've been kind of laid up a little bit. I'm actually waiting for surgery on my hip, so been sort of taking a load off lately. So yeah, I watched a ton of movies. Groundhog Day, of course. It's my annual viewing. Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou.
Oh yeah, I like that one.
Lord of the Rings, Back to the Future. Let's see, John Wick, basically all four of them. Matrix. Just rewatching a bunch of stuff that I've seen, and for some reason, I don't know, it just kind of stuck in my head. The John Wicks I hadn't seen, but let's see. I was going to watch a bunch of stuff, but I started watching previews and the new Elvis one. I just couldn't bring myself to do it because the guy that was doing Elvis just looks like such a douche.
I couldn't get into. I watched it at the theater, but I couldn't get into it. It wasn't for me.
Couldn't take it. So, but I've been watching an absolute ton of stuff. I watch more YouTube than I watch anything else. So a lot of like just user content. So a lot of stuff on music and synthesizers. I don't play, but I'm just always been fascinated by synth music and stuff like that. So like going way back to the earliest stuff, Kraftwerk and all that stuff. But just lots of that for some reason. No good reason. There's a guy called Dr. Mix, who's an Italian producer, musician, and
I've got an artist for you that you might already know, but...
You watch Explaining Computers, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I just discovered this guy. We went out to a club not so long ago. Cerrone, have you ever heard of him?
I think I have, yeah.
Cerrone. His big hit was Supernature, but it's kind of that Italian synth / mm-hmm. almost a disco sound, and it's really good. I've been listening to a lot of his stuff. If you like Morricone and some of those guys,
Giorgio Moroder was probably, you know, an early influence.
Like, yeah, if you like
the Moroder. old Diana Ross stuff. That period she was using him, and then I always listen to Coast to Coast AM and the intro chase. Music is the chase. Yeah. So I've always just loved electronic music, and I don't know. I just sort of got off on this kick where I started watching it, and it's one of those things where it's like 5 hours later, I'm like, holy shit, I've been sitting here for a long time. That's the thing. Like I guess I don't watch as much like studio content as I do just like YouTube, and I have been for years. Because of creators like Explaining Computers, he was on one of the Joe Resington shows recently. It was a really good episode.
Now your audio now is a little bit crunchy, or is it just me, or do you guys hear that?
No, it's cutting in and out pretty hard.
Yeah. Oh, it's because I have a gate on. I'll turn it off. It's probably better. But the I don't know why. I'm more of a, I get into like long stretches of YouTube where I just kind of, and it entertains me.
I've been watching a lot of Raspberry Pi 5 stuff recently. I haven't seen anything about the 5.
What do you think?
Things people are doing with it. I don't know. I don't think I'm going to go out of my way to get one at this point. I don't really see the point, the cost of performance. I think I could get something else that's used that would do better. So
I've been messing with my Atomic Pi a lot, trying to get that camera to work, and I'll talk about it on the show. Honky, you been watching anything?
Oh, go ahead.
No, actually, for whatever reason, I got addicted to re-listening to the Dresden Files. So I re-listened to all those books. And I just finished all of them, and I just started up Sigler's. Which one is it? The virus ones.
How many is there?
With Dresden Files?
Yeah.
A lot.
Like 15 or something?
Yeah.
It's a slog to get through it all anymore.
I finished all the Dresden Files. It was like 15 books. And I just started up Scott Sigler's Infected series.
It's a slog as in it's not good? Or
it just takes a long time.
It does. There's a lot of books. Let's see.
Like his most recent two books, he kind of forgets some of his own rules, and it bugs me a little bit. I mean, I'll go through the series again and I'll listen to the next book, but I don't know if I'm going to do the whole series again. I've listened to it a lot.
If you're going to do it, you might as well start back from the beginning. Now, have you listened to any of his Codex Alera books?
Oh, I love the Codex Alera.
All right, because I started, after I finished the Dresden Files, I started up book one, and for whatever reason, I just couldn't get into it right away, and I had already downloaded the Scott Sigler Infected books, and I've already listened to the first one of that series, and I really liked it, but I wasn't able to get the other books before, but this time I got them, so I was going to go re-listen to those, and I'll go back to the Alera books later.
I love the Codex Alera, and he has the Cinder Spire series. Okay. He's only on book two of the Cinder Spire series, though. Okay. And I will say that as an audiobook, I do not recommend it. It is a lot more in-depth and a lot harder to follow as an audio than his other books.
Honky doesn't read. He said it's not cool.
I get that. But I'm just letting you know that I don't recommend it as an audiobook.
I can't just sit down and read a book anymore.
I understand that too.
And audiobooks have been my friend. I've just been able to put it on and then just do other things. Working on the car, just cleaning up the car and stuff. Working on the car for me was like putting in the car stereo, changing over floor mats and cleaning it and stuff like that. And I'm not like doing anything good, like working on the car.
Another book series that I could recommend to you would be the, Craig Schaefer has like three interconnected series that are all really good and that you should read all of them. And they're the Daniel Faust books is the main series, but then there's two other series that are attached to it.
Now, did you find those on
Audiobook Bay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I was using Nicotina to find books, and I was having a hard time with that. And then I went back to Audiobook Bay, and it's just so much easier.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Last week I was on vacation, and I was able to actually golf. So up here, this time of year is the dead time of year, and it's cold. And some of the golf courses up here do the honor system of you just put $5 in the mail slot and you can just go out and play. So I was up there on the golf course by myself. It was a bit cold, but I was out there by myself practicing and listening to audiobooks. I had a blast. I think I went golfing like four times last week.
Antisocial like myself.
I don't mind.
There was no one else there. It was great.
It's great because I'm not good at golf. I'm not good, but I like to play. And here's the thing with golf. When you suck, you go up there and you suck, you whack it away. But then every once in a while you have like one or two shots or just one or two holes where you just feel it. You got it down.
Yep.
You go up there and drive and you do a line drive straight down the middle, almost all the way up into the green. And you feel, fuck yeah, I can golf. God damn it. Granted, then you go up there and putt and it takes you like six times just to get it in the hole, but it doesn't matter. You still had that big high of you got that big shot. And that's why I like playing by myself. I went out there and I'd throw down like three or four balls and I'd whack four of them and I'd play all four. I'd go up there, practice my putting. I'd just throw them up in the air and putt around for a while. Nobody else on the course. What do I care?
There's a practice center around here that they have a bunch of practice greens, and they're nice because they're varied enough that you can actually like try different shots and like try to be to repeat the same shot, that kind of thing. So you can kind of figure it out. And then they have, I think it's three three par three holes, and super cheap to just go play. And that's more fun to me than actually going out and golfing a whole 9 or 18 holes, because like you're saying, like first of all, that no one's waiting for you,
right?
Which I hate. I hate being the slow guy on the golf course. Like, you just see people standing behind you and you're like, God damn it. Then you feel pressured and it's like impossible not to mess up.
Exactly.
I like putt putt.
Putt's good. I like miniature golf. I like, there's a Top Golf up there in Dallas.
Oh, that's fun. There's one in Allen.
Actually last week, a friend of mine, they have one up in, Canton up in, a friend of mine and I drove up to Canton and, we played up there. At Top Golf. I tried it once before when I was in Dallas, and he had never been. He really wanted to go, so.
I don't play golf, but I love that Top Golf. That's a lot of fun.
It is fun.
You're just swinging the shit out of the club, and, you know, just try to hit it as far as you can. And
you don't even have to hit it that hard. Get one of those little red ones or the little yellow ones up front there.
Yep.
Get you points.
The food's actually pretty good, too, and they got beer. Yeah.
Yeah, but the price is a little
rough. it's not cheap, that's for sure, but every once in a while it's a fun little trip.
Nice to go spend an hour just hitting balls.
Who else? Lovecraft, we haven't gone to you yet, have we? Part of what you're watching?
Yeah, I've been watching a couple of things. I actually watched the that series Ted, the teddy bear. That was actually pretty funny.
Is that a series?
Yeah, it's like, I think it's like 7 episodes. It's the, basically like
the movie,
the prequel to it. Yeah. That's the bear is the same and all that's about him growing up in his teen years with Ted a few years after he came to life. But, I think it's like 7 episodes, but yeah, it's really funny. You know, exactly the same humor as, the movies. Lots of cursing, very very foul language. So, yeah, definitely not for kids. But yeah, I would definitely I'd recommend that. That was pretty good. Watched another series called Obliterated, which is like another comedy. It's about like this CIA task force or whatever that they think they've thwarted this like nuclear bomb explosion in Las Vegas, and as soon as they think they've gotten everything taken care of, they start partying and up and start doing like all kinds of drugs and stuff and getting drunk, and then find out that that was a decoy bomb, and then
I saw that was a good movie.
Ensues. It's pretty good.
Or it was a mini series.
Yeah, it's like yes. I think it's 8 episodes. It was pretty funny.
It was pretty funny. I liked it.
Watched another movie. It was a Dario Argento movie with Jennifer Connelly. I think it's called Phenomena, but I think it's also called I think it has another name. I think it came up with two different names. I think it was called like Jeepers or something like that. But that was really good. Donna Pleasance was in it. Yeah. Really, really cool about a girl who can speak to insects. It was really good. I hadn't seen that one before.
It's cool. It's a really young Jennifer Connelly too, and she's it's got some crazy like bug eating effects and stuff. And I think they pretty much used all real bugs too. The Italians, they don't mess around with the fake bugs, you know.
Yeah, well, and it's got Donald Pleasance's character is he's in a wheelchair, but he has a chimpanzee nurse, which is just like kind of crazy. I was like, it worked though in the context of the movie. It was pretty cool.
That's a good one.
And I also watched this other movie, which I really can't recommend. It was called Destroy All Neighbors, something new. I think it popped up on Netflix or something, but it was terrible, so I wouldn't recommend that one. But that's really about it. Other than that, just been super busy with work and haven't really had a lot of time to watch a whole heck of a lot of stuff.
Has anybody watched FUBAR?
Never heard of it.
Yeah, that wasn't bad.
Yeah, that's Schwarzenegger, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw it, but the previews and stuff, but haven't actually watched it yet.
I watched like the first episode. I haven't made it past that.
It's not bad.
What is it that you meant? What was the name of it?
FUBAR.
Like you both said at the same time?
F-U-B-A-R, FUBAR.
Oh, FUBAR. Okay. I just said floor. Wait, what? I'm looking up the Dresden Files. It actually sounds interesting.
That's a good series. I've listened to most of the series so much that it's almost difficult for me to want to listen to it again.
I like the sci-fi series, too. What's that guy's name that played Harry Dresden? He was in Arrow.
I know what you're talking about, but I can't remember his name.
It was pretty good for the budget. What do you think? Kick this pig, as Joe would say. Does that mean to start or to stop?
To start.
Okay.
All right, hold on. Let me get over to the notes here. Oh, write down the time. Probably a good idea, too.
Oh my god, it's Hacker Public Radio. Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
The Linux Link Tech Show. Tune in to the world's longest-running Linux podcast live every Wednesday, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Find us on the web at www.twlts.org or email us at techshow@thelinuxlink.net. IRC server, thelinuxlink.net /techshow. Join Pat, Alan, Link, and Joel. And don't forget the two Dans. They are so hot. I know, because I've kissed them both. And Langridge, he's a bloody drunk guy.
If you don't like a guest, you can get up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that'll get bad.